Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Thanksgiving Eve. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are here for a special edition, a best of, Dan.
Oh, yes, a best of. And I've been thinking about this all day. You know, we used to do another thing where we would just talk about things, like talk about a live show that never happened, talk about putting a best of together that never happened. And on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, we just do them.
We do them. We don't just talk about them. We do them.
No, we don't talk. Let's talk. Just do them.
We'll take off for 2 weeks in the middle of October. What the hell?
Yeah. We'll announce things and it'll never happen.
That's right. Yeah. Terrestrial radio, as if that's not a dying thing. But anyway.
That's cool.
Dan, it's the best of, and I'm excited. We have.
Say we have a best of.
We have a lot to look back on. A lot of good things have happened this year. A lot of guests, a lot of good people we've met along the way. And
opportunities we've had.
Yeah, it's so fitting, my friend, that we look back on the eve of Thanksgiving. Our forefathers, as they ate turkey.
And killed Indians.
And killed Indians and gave the Indians smallpox.
And polio.
You know, as all those things happen, Dan, we get to look back at this year. Now, this year, it's amazing you bring that up. This year started, I came back on to a show that I won't name. I started booking guests.
It rhymes with Momi Payne.
Okay. And I was booking guests. I got people on. We really started with the Super 8, the ECWA Super 8. And
yeah. We had Papadon on, we had Joe Zanoli, Hand Me a Cannoli.
Keikoa,
that's right.
Bandito.
And no, nothing, no thank you. You came back basically to a sinking ship, in my opinion.
I did, and I realized that, and I decided to reach out, start this whole thing. And we started, it was me, you, and Marco Thompson. Mark has moved on. Good for him. And, you know, he's very successful right now. He's a DJ.
He's not coming back?
No. So, that's the way it started. We started out with Fusion DS, our first interview. And it's been a train since then. It's all about gaining momentum.
It really is about gaining, and we've been on a roll. It really, really have been on the roll. Like I said, opportunities, and I have you to thank.
Well, thank you.
I have never, and publicly I will say I have you to thank, that would never have ever come to me if I stayed on a show that nobody cared about, where people worked that nobody cared about, and all this stuff has come since. It's what we've done in 6-7 months, I haven't done
yeah.
4 years, man, 4 years.
But it's amazing, Dan. We've gained an audience. We have gained listeners. We have gained friends. We have gained fans. We have even gained a few enemies along the way. But that's neither here nor there. Dan, what I want to do now is play our first montage. Now, what this is every guest that we have had on their first appearance and how I introduce them to the show. So, Dan, let's sit back and reminisce. In alphabetical order, I might say.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yes, yes, yes. It's good to be here.
My goodness.
Yes, can
my
you hear
goodness.
Me?
I can hear you. Now, is this the translator for the Nigerian Nightmare?
Yes, this is Aaron Gainey, the translator.
Adam Cole, I would like to welcome you to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm doing very good. Thank you guys very much for having me on the program tonight.
Now, welcome to the show. You are on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Aiden?
I am awesome.
It's the Monster Out, too. Atu, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm feeling absolutely lamp.
Amadeus Thorin, you are on the show. You're with Dan Dean and Omega Squad. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I can't complain. How are you guys doing tonight?
It is Bandito Jr. How are you, Bandito?
I'm doing good, Dean. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back. What's going on?
Blacky Ty, you're on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm going to bring beautiful Bobby Shields onto the show. Now, beautiful Bobby, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Bob Levy, and he will be joining us right now. Bob, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Good to be here in the cell, brother.
That's right.
Is this clean radio or dirty radio?
Hello, Breaker. You are on the line with Dean and Dan. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Thank you. What's up, guys?
Steve Carino, you're on with Dan and Dean. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Craven, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good, man. How are you guys doing?
I am going to bring on Dan the Beast Severin right now. Hello, Dan. This is Dean from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Thank you. I'm sorry that we had the communication problem, but welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Dean, I appreciate being here. Actually, I was just kind of tied up a few things and had to relocate your phone number.
Hello, David. You are on the line with us. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Great. And hello to everybody out there who may or may not know me out there in the internet land.
Welcome to the show. You're talking with Dean and Dan. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, I believe this is El Taco Grande.
Si!
And it is with great pleasure that I welcome to Hell in a Cell, Mr. John Finnegan. Foxy, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you tonight?
I am good. I'm actually popping huge that you guys played the Nerd Herders song. I was not expecting that.
I would like to welcome to the show, to Hell in a Cell, Damian Dragon,
yes,
and
sir.
Matt Saigon.
What's up, everybody?
Fusion DS is on Hell in a Cell. Welcome to the cell. Handsome Harold, how are you doing tonight?
It's not handsome, sir. Now, we've been through this before, and I'm sure that you were at the New Moon Rising Wrestling show, and you've seen what happened to the last person. You called me handsome.
DJ Hyatt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Jesse, welcome to the show. We're quite excited to have you on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. Thank you guys for having me.
Now, Mr. Gacy, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Caller, you're on the air with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Just state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Joel Blackheart.
Joel!
27 minutes late, but I am here.
Oh, Joel. The godfather of hardcore, Joel Goodhart. How are you doing tonight, Joel?
We're doing fine, and just remember one thing. We wrestled, we brawled, and we did it all.
Joe, welcome to your first journey into the cell. How are you tonight, sir?
Well, it's my... Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
It's my second, isn't it?
Number one, Johnny Silver, he is coming back to ECWA. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, Johnny. Sorry for having you on hold there.
It's all right.
You are live with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Johnny?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for playing that song. That gets me wild up every time I hear it, man.
Good evening, Mr. Daniels. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Mike, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Kakoa, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. First of all, thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be back.
Kimberly, you are on with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Kimber?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Frank Kruda, I'm going to get him on right now if this works out. And also referee Jimmy Dillon. From the UWF, from New Moon Rising Wrestling, and they are both on the line right now with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Guys, welcome to Hell in a Cell.
How you doing, Dean? Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
LJ, are you there? You're on with Hell in a Cell.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Loudy, we had some difficulty communicating a little bit earlier, but you're on the line with Dan, Dean, and Omega Squad. How are you?
Thank you, gentlemen. First off, I will be firing my secretary, who gave me the wrong number. My apologies.
Major, welcome to the show. You are live with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Major?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Tony Mamaluke?
I hope so.
I hope so as well. I hope so.
Oh, my God. Wow, I've been in easier fist fights.
DWF Superstar, this is none other than Mark Angel. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Yo, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Mark Angelo Setti, he is one of the throwbacks. How you doing? Thanks for hanging out. First of all, we had you on hold there for a little while. I want to thank you for your time. How's it going?
For a really long time.
I do apologize, sir.
Good, nerd.
Mel, welcome to HIAC Talk Radio. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm great, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so Jake, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing well. We also have Justin on the line. Justin, how are you?
I am doing good, Mr. Double D and Mr. Law.
Mia, welcome to the show. You're on
Hello.
With Dan. You're on with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Welcome to the show. Missy, you are with Dan, Dean, and Omega.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Niles Young, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Thanks for hanging in there, sir.
Hey, anytime, my friend, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hello, is this Mr. Ooh La La?
Ooh La La! But of course it is. And
okay.
That's wine, 17 seconds. You shut your mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Ophidian, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Greek God?
Yes, it is.
Ricky, the model Martinez. Ricky, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm a little upset, actually.
A little upset? Elaborate a little.
Listen, you got Ricky, the model Martinez on Hell in a Cell Radio, and as good-looking as I am, I've been on hold for the past 15 minutes.
Okay.
I need some kind of explanation for that.
The Knight Rider, Robert Knight from New Moon Rising Wrestling. How are you doing, Robert?
Doing great. The Knight Rider has arrived. And, you know, first I want to thank you guys for giving me that special phone number to call into, because I'm sure that regular call-in line is jammed up with thousands of my fans trying to get through tonight.
Good evening, Ron.
Yo, Dean Dixon. What's up, bud?
American Roughneck. Are you there?
Oh, I am here.
Welcome to the show, CM.
Hello?
Here you are. I'm charged up. I'm sorry.
It's
all right. Hello.
My goodness. Tank Tolan. Now, Tank, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. This is Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
The boss, Mike Tartaglia. How you doing tonight?
Woo! The boss is here. The boss is in the house.
But what I'd like to do right now is bring on Anthony Nice. Anthony, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hey, man. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show, Matt Tremont. You're speaking with Double D. You're speaking with Dan Law. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
What's going on, fellas? Glad to be on. Hey, what's up, Dave?
All right, Jeremy. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to the new program, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you?
Doing great, Dave.
Hello, Chris, and welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How you doing tonight?
Good, Dean. How are you doing?
So, Dan, that was a look back.
Nice.
At all the amazing guests that we have had here on Hell in the Cell Talk Radio.
I would just like to thank the very professional and very, very quick producers that put that together. It's like we have the hardest working team, and I mean one person, Dean Dixon, that does all that stuff, and it sounds fantastic.
Well, thank you.
No, no problem.
And
I can fillet you a little more.
No, that's all right. What I'm going to do now, Dan.
I'm trying to say you're a hard worker, and you should get the credit.
I appreciate it, Dan. It is Thanksgiving. It's a day of thanks. It's a day to look back. Anyway, I'm going to move right along to our guest. When you talk best of, who better to get on?
Oh, boy.
Than this man. The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling. Good evening, Robert. Welcome back to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Thanks a lot, guys. You know, the night before Thanksgiving, and this has got to be the greatest Thanksgiving of all time because we can give thanks for no more American roughneck.
Well, we're going to talk about dummies a little bit later on, Robert. But let's just say roughneck bit off a little more than he could chew. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, you know, and like I said, being the guy that I am, the kindness that I had in my heart, I decided to bring two chairs in the ring. I sat down, I told him I have no intentions of making this thing physical. I just wanted an apology, you know, and he chose to make fun of me instead of apologizing, and a hero can only take so much before he's got to take action, and that's exactly what I did.
You certainly did take action by way of a chair right to his back, and you hit him so hard, he didn't fall forward like you would think. He fell backwards.
He fell backwards. You know, the American Roughneck, I think he spent so much time falling that he kind of just trained himself to go backwards no matter what happens. But, I mean, you know, either way, he did go down. I chopped that cherry tree down, and he's not getting back up for a long, long time.
Now, listen, Robert, as bad as you beat him, and you did beat him bad, I don't think he's coming back. But is there a little spot in the back of your mind that's worried maybe a little bit that maybe you woke a sleeping giant?
I don't think so.
I mean, the word giant very lightly.
Yeah. I mean, the guy seems to do his best work when he's on the ground, and I had him on the ground, and he didn't do it, so I'm assuming that things are over with him. And now I don't know what's going on with the guy, Glenn Storms, who his very first return match in New Moon Rising Wrestling decides to stick his nose where it doesn't belong.
Hey,
with
who
a
is that guy?
Bat. I don't know. I mean, I beat him in a tag match last year with some other guy who's no longer with the company. I mean, and then the guy makes his return, and he decides to do his best Sting impersonation and come out with a baseball bat.
Now, Glenn Storms, he's on a certain list. I'm not sure if he's he's what I'd like to call an unconfirmed dummy at this point, but we'll get into that. Now, one thing I did want to bring up, of course, at Fallout, this is where all this went down, just this past Saturday. Your good friend, Justin America, you two made a pretty good tandem in the PG-13 match. You guys eliminated four guys together. Now, he wrestles Tank Tolan in an I Hate You match, and it would appear that he's been taken out. He's not going to be 100%. How do you feel seeing your friend get driven through a table by that no-good Tank Tolan?
You know, you leave it to a guy like Tank Tolan to put somebody through a table instead of just beating him clean in the middle of the ring because he couldn't get the job done. You know, I am worried about Justin. I ask you to keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I know, unlike the American Roughneck, that Justin America will be back. In the meantime, if you want to send your cards, letters, and money donations, you can send those to Robert Knight, care of New Moon Rising Wrestling, 1030 Delcy Drive, Deptford, New Jersey, and I'll make sure that everything goes to Justin's hospital bill, so don't worry about that. But he will be back, and Tank Tolan has got his work cut out for him December 15th. Don't worry about that.
Yes, December 15th, that's always on the horizon. I'm not sure where you stand with that right now, because you took out your nemesis, so I guess it's an open challenge type of thing, or what's going on there?
Kit and I are working on, we have a open spot for Night Court. Now, I also have an open contract that day, so I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I have a few feelers out. We're trying to line somebody up that's going to be pretty big in Deptford, New Jersey. And, you know, the people are going to be happy with my Night Court. Guess whoever my opponent is, it's not going to be the American Roughneck, and whoever it is going to have a pretty bad Christmas because they're going to be defeated just a week before Christmas at the hands of the Knight Rider.
Okay. Now, one thing I did want to talk about. Normally we have fan mail, but you know how things are around this time of year with the mail and everything. And
yes, Santa Claus is getting all those letters sent to him instead of them coming to the foundation.
That's right. That's right. So what I want to do is go over some of this. We have a list of confirmed dummies and potential dummies. Now, a confirmed dummy would obviously be the American Roughneck. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100%. He's proven it time and time again.
Tank Tolan.
Tank Tolan's a dummy. I defeated him, you know, 12 years ago all over the place. I beat him at the ECW Arena, which is documented on YouTube. I mean, this guy's been running around for years chasing after me, and he's always just a little bit behind. And Jake Bishop's going to prove he's a dummy on December 15th.
Now, what I like to say, I was faster, smarter, and better looking than Tank Tolan at Fallout because I got away from that behemoth. I'm not sure if you caught that.
You know, I did, and he's definitely a behemoth, but it's not easy to be on the same wavelength of a guy whose ego is bigger than the building itself. Tank Tolan's going to get brought to his knees, and Dean, you were quick enough to get away. Justin, unfortunately, wasn't, but he's going to have his day again very soon.
Okay, now, a potential dummy is HPR. That's the Hollister punk rocker, Glenn Storms.
He's still on the fence. He is a potential dummy right now. If he decides to interfere again, he's officially a dummy. If he learned his lesson last time by seeing what I did to his supposed friend, the American Roughneck, and stays away, then he can sit on that fence for a little while like Garfield.
Potential dummies. The Empire. That's Ty Reno, King Blackie, Sienna Duvall, and O-Dog.
You know, I'm going to leave them at potential dummies right now because although I am a young loner on a crusade, I try not to make enemies where I don't have to. And the return show for New Moon Rising Wrestling, when I saw what Sienna did after the knock on her noggin that she took, and then after feeling the stuff that Ty Reno laid on me, I don't necessarily want to make enemies with those guys. But if it comes down to it, they're going to be dummies right now, potential.
Okay, that's actually very good advice. They're not friendly with me. Now, newcomers to New Moon Rising Wrestling, Fusion DS, Damian Dragon, Matt Saigon. I have them in the potential dummy category as
Whoa.
Of right now.
Yeah, potential. I mean, I haven't really interacted with those guys much. They're going to have to get in line and make an appearance on Night Court and continue to prove themselves against the competition of New Moon Rising Wrestling, and we'll see where they fall. Right now, it's too early to tell with those two.
Yeah, give them a chance there, Dino.
Well, that's why they're potential dummies. Okay, another potential dummy, Crazy Ivan. Where does he stand?
There you come.
Crazy Ivan stands alone. I mean, I'm staying as far away from that guy as possible. I'm not going to call him anything, and I just hope I don't have to face him in the ring.
Okay, how about the tire flipper, Steve Zapp? Where do you put him? I have him as a dummy right now.
He's a dummy. I mean, come on. The guy flips a tire up here from Florida just to get his butt handed to him by the former hotshot, Mike Reed. I mean, come on. What a nimrod that guy is. Keep
now,
delivering
Mike,
papers, pal.
Now, Mike Reed, where does he stand?
Where does he stand? He's a dummy. Mike Reed's a dummy, and I'll tell you why. Because he still wrestles for the Monster Factory.
Now, the views and opinions expressed by Robert Knight are his only. Now, Louis,
I think you need to make that little disclaimer a little louder.
<Next time. laughs> Well, another Monster Factory guy, Luis the Punisher Martinez and Broly. Let's put them together. Broly, what a his name, that guy. They're the Legion of Anarchy. Where do they stand?
You know, they seem like two bad dudes. I've been in the ring with Luis before. He's a tough guy. Again, I don't really know Broly, and I'm going to try to stay away from those two guys. I'm going to have to call Luis a dummy, though, because he's had how many opportunities at Jake Bishop, and Jake's still the one standing there with the belt. So I got to throw him in the dummy category also, Dean.
That's very true. So it's still out on his partner there.
Yeah, we'll leave that another day, another time.
Now, how about that large, rotund man that comes out during matches? I believe his name is Slim Burgundy. Where do you put him?
You know, he seems like a real classic guy, and as far as I'm concerned, that guy, all he's tried to do was offer some people a contract so he could guide them in the right direction. I mean, even that clown Glenn Storms got offered a contract, and look what he did. Had he chosen to sign with Slim Burgundy, maybe he wouldn't have made the mistake of attacking me with a baseball bat.
I agree with that.
Okay, now the Me Society, and of course they are one less member now. LJ Cruz has been kicked out because he's a dummy, right?
Yeah, come on. What kind of person would get kicked out of the Me Society? The guy had the world in the palm of his hands, and he threw it away. That's ego. That's Tank Tolan-style ego coming from that guy right there.
So see you later. LJ Cruz is a dummy. How about the Me Society? We got the Untouchables. We got that Mike Yeager guy who showed up out of nowhere. I heard he has a beautiful wife, though. Justin America and Jake Bishop.
You know, there's not even a question. Those guys are at the top of the mountain for a reason in New Moon Rising Wrestling, and that's where they're going to stay. And like I said before, although I am a loner, I'm happy to have those guys on my side because if push comes to shove, I know they have my back.
I'm not sure if we brought him up, but Kei Koa, the Flying Hawaiian, he was your first guest after the relaunch. How do you feel about him?
He's a dummy. I mean, the guy chose to embarrass me. He was in cahoots with the Roughneck with the microphones not working and everything, and he got on my bad side in his first appearance, so he's definitely a dummy.
How about our master official?
Anthony Rock, the master official. He's not a dummy. I'll tell you why. I've been up and down the road with Anthony for quite some time, and I've never seen a guy who can count to three right down the middle better than Anthony Rock, the master official.
Jesus!
Okay. He's everybody's favorite guy. Over in the corner.
Works.
Over in the corner. His sign gets destroyed each month.
No!
Keeps coming back for more.
No!
He gets insulted on the group page. Keeps coming back for more. Captain Dave! I already know. He's a dummy. But how do you feel?
You know, he's a dummy, but he's a dummy with a lot of heart. Because that guy shows up with a new sign that's finally crafted from CVS each and every show. He gets it torn up and handed to him, and he still comes back. The guy pays for his ticket and three other people who claim they're photographers and don't bring cameras. The guy is definitely, definitely a dummy with heart.
Not too much. Never mind. Forget
Dan, do you have any questions for Robert?
No.
I think we went over the entire roster.
Yeah, I mean, since you took out the Roughneck, what's next for the Right Rider?
You know, I'm just going to keep on cruising. I'm going to keep things in auto cruise right now and just see where it takes me. I'm going to keep hosting Night Court at the live events. I'm going to participate here and there, let my star shine in New Moon Rising Wrestling, and I want to keep talking the truth about New Moon Rising Wrestling and any other promotion that needs to have the truth told about.
And I know some people are dummies and not dummies, but are you going to go after any championships?
I mean, I've already held the United States Championship for over a year after I won the 2.5-hour Battle Royal. I don't necessarily want to repeat what I've already done, and right now the heavyweight championship is fine right where it is around the waist of Jake Bishop. So right now I'm going to lay low and just remain the 2.5-hour champion and continue to prove myself time and time again.
Gotcha.
All right. So, Robert, thanks,
so it is written.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This was great.
You having me. Again, I'm very thankful for having the outlet of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. And you guys, listening to that montage, I've done a whole lot in just a short amount of time, and I'm sure it's just the beginning of great things to come.
You know,
well,
and I'd also like to say that this is an outlet that I think a lot of guys should be using. And that's all I'll say.
That's all I'll say.
Absolutely. I agree.
But anyway, we're going
to... I try not to let it be stolen, too, because, you know, let me leave on a high note here. New Moon Rising Wrestling returned at PG-13 with a Royal Rumble Battle Royal, which ended in a lumberjack match. And it was brought to my attention by Kit that another rival organization, if you can call it that, former partners of New Moon Rising Wrestling, followed up our show with a Battle Royal and a lumberjack match. So, I mean, that's the creativity for you in the indie scene, I guess. Another war won by New Moon Rising.
He must be talking about WWE, because he wouldn't be talking about anybody else.
No, of course not.
No.
I'm certainly not going to be talking about anybody else. This is a best of, not a watch out for that big guy coming at you.
What big guy? The American Roughnecks retired. The big guy's gone.
Well, Robert, I think it's time for the catchphrase.
You got it. I've been proving it all along, and I'll prove it again, that one man can make a difference.
Yes. All right, so that was probably... So that was Robert Knight.
Where's you out, man?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. You could say it's a turkey slam of a Thanksgiving. I don't think you got that reference.
No.
That was the name of a stupid show that happened on Saturday. But anyway.
They called it turkey slam?
Turkey slam. I don't know the slam. I'm not taking that hole again. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, shut your face, dude.
I don't know. We're going to have...
They might as well have called it Gobblemania. Stuffing Rumble.
The cranberry run. I don't know.
The cornbread lumberjacks.
I don't know, Dan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's got to... That's awesome. Yay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, before we get shot.
I don't know. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that.
You shouldn't have, no. But that automatically means, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah.
And
I
then
know.
You'll get blamed for it, and then I'll get yelled at.
That's how it's worked in the past.
That's
anyway.
How it works in the past. And you know what? Why ruin a good thing?
It's good for you, not so much for me.
No,
now, Dan... We had this very interesting story that came upon us during the year. Now, Marco Thompson, there was a period of time that he was gone for 3 weeks. And when he finally returned on the fourth week...
He quit.
Shut up.
Sorry.
He comes back for a week and then he's gone.
He quit.
But
he's drinking tonight.
Stop it. You jerk. Oh, what Pilsner did he have? I want to know.
Well, he had a Sierra. What do you have? He had a Celebration Ale by Sierra Nevada and a Shea Farrell.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living large.
Yeah.
Living
you
large.
You know what? I love the guy, man.
I do.
I really. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. We went to a Sideshow Pro show with him, and it was an amazing night by all accounts. That's when we came up with the chant for Niles Young. He's just average. And that's become like, I'm even trying to start it at CZW now. I hope it catches on. But
I'll help you with that.
Yeah.
You'll yell it to the heavens, sir.
Oh, trying. But anyway, Mark, he was gone for 3 weeks. The fourth week he came back. He was hot on the trail, Dan, of
sure he was.
The New Moon Rising Wrestling board. That mysterious board of directors. And here was his when he came back. Let me preface it that 4 weeks ago at this point, you received a very hot tip into the identities of the nefarious New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Nefarious.
That's a great word. The board of directors. And then we found blood or corn syrup with the initials DW written into the on the floor of your apartment. We also found there was a garbled voicemail. It could have been Toronto or Tonto. I'm not sure. What happened, Mark?
Dean. Dan.
Yes, sir.
There were walls. There were doors. You know what? I don't know if I can relive this. I don't know. There were babies taking care of other babies. It was just madness. At one point, I think I woke up in the town right outside of the capital, Peru. I don't know, man. But there was so much going on. And just when I finally had them cornered, I had the evidence. And Dean, I'm excited to tell you, you check your email right now, because I sent it to you.
Do we have...
How come I didn't get the email?
I'll forward it to you. How's that?
Thank you. Well, how come he can't send me an email? Why am I such a bitch?
Because I don't have your email.
I'm such a bitch on the show. It's real hard. It's danlaw83 and then the ad web address.
Just go ahead. Check your email right now. I just sent it to you.
He's on a dial-up.
I'm checking. I don't have anything. What am I looking for here?
Mine works. Send it to me.
What do you mean you don't have it?
Send it to me. Mine works.
It doesn't...
I
gotta be honest.
Maybe it's blocked. I don't know what's going on.
The files on my computer are erased. I had it, Dean. 3 weeks. 3 weeks of being gone, and I had it.
And gone. Somehow.
Gone now.
Somehow they were...
They're craftier than I thought, man.
Do you have a picture, any photographic evidence, anything that you can... I think...
Maybe... I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. How did it get in my computer?
What the hell is happening?
Mark...
What just happened?
I don't know. My files were erased. There's a fat Newman from Seinfeld going,
you didn't say the magic word.
I have no idea what's going on.
So wait, what
happened?
You
really know that you don't know what's going on when there's babies taking care of other babies.
Babies, yes.
That's
there were walls, there were doors. I can't relive it. Don't make me.
Did they take an organ?
I did wake up in a bathtub full of ice with a note pinned to me that said, next time, get your kidney. And I kind of thought to myself, I said, well, you know, one of my kidneys is full of stones. I might be winning on that deal.
I was going to say, let him take it, man.
Oh, my goodness. Let me just get the bumper out there, and we'll be right back after 15 short seconds. We still have no idea, Dan, what that was all about.
You know, it's like for 2 months, WCW just building up, why is Stacey Keibler pregnant and who was it, and then just stopping.
And the obscure WCW references continue.
Thank you. I'm going to try to do that every day of my life until I die.
Just to prove that you were one of
just the few that watched that crap.
Now,
and survived.
I'm looking here, Dan. I don't. You know what? How about we go to the K-Cup pre-show?
One of my favorite moments, and I only wish I was there because it was gold.
Yes, it was. Of course, we had an interview with, at the time, he was the manager of the ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Botchations. And he was their manager, and he came over for an interview, Dan. And yeah, oh my goodness.
Got the belt.
Here he comes.
What do you want?
Here he comes. Joel.
What do you once.
Joel
Goodhart. I'm tired of carrying the gold.
So, everyone, we are joined by none other than... You can get a little closer if you want, sir. I take that as an insult.
Consider it an insult.
So, Joel, I want to know exactly what the hell you were up to re-signing a team that I thought we'd never have to see again, the Midnight Sensation. Why did you do it?
I surprised you, didn't I?
You surprised me a few times.
I own the gold.
Where did the cummerbund go?
I own the gold.
I just spit on you. I'm sorry. It's okay, though. I get a little excited, a little frothy.
Joel.
Yeah.
Why aren't your Chargers wearing the gold? They're the most decorated tag team in ECWA right now.
The most decorated?
The Midnight Sensation won this last year. The title belts aren't on the line this year. We're going to win it again. I manage champions, but more importantly, I make them champions.
Okay, so you make them the champions, but what was this ploy?
Why the hell would I tell you?
Joe Zanoli.
Why would I tell you?
Joe Zanoli.
I'm walking around with more gold than you've ever seen in your life, and you want me to just tell you what I'm up to?
He's a legend in his own mind.
What'd you call me one time? The godfather of hardcore.
I have to promote my own show, don't I? I have to give you some type of moniker.
I was in this sport way before you were even born.
That's not true.
When were you born?
76.
I was in this sport right after you were born. 1984 is when I came into professional wrestling. When you were just, 8 years old?
Yes.
And you've only grown up a year or two since then.
Very good man. I would expect that, considering what you do with your 9-to-5.
Wait, I just got this right. You were born in 1976.
1976.
That makes you 36 right now.
36.
So this is the first time in your life that your age and your IQ are the same number.
You good for nothing. I invite you over here so I can get to the
bottom.
You
didn't invite me over. He did.
Well, Tubby invited you, but still.
Where does he get the name Tubby from?
I'm a little bit emotional. It's Slim. I'm sorry. Slim Burgundy.
He did bring up a very good point, though. They're like intersecting lines on like a clamp.
You keep out of it, Hicks.
Your age is going up.
You keep out of it, Hicks.
Your IQ is going down, dude.
Now, anyway.
Go Blackheart.
So I invite you to come over here, be a guest. And I have got nothing. I am no closer to the truth of the matter.
And you never will be. Why the heck should I give you the truth? Who the hell are you for me to come over here, waste my time, talk to you, Mr. Double D? The only Double D's I'm interested in are not yours, okay?
Are they Slim Burgundy?
No. He's a double F or a double G or something, okay? But so are spies, and we don't need to go there.
That's true. So, what can we expect from your charges?
Why do you want me to tell you?
I'm interviewing you.
You have a radio show. You are paid millions of dollars to broadcast this radio show.
Yeah.
And you expect me to give you this information for nothing. Now, I wasn't born in 76. I was born in 53. I was not born yesterday.
Let me ask you a question, Joel, and I hope you don't mind. I hope you're not offended, because I mean no offense, but you guys are going to be fighting champions, I assume, your guys. Would you care if Joe Zanoli came to you and said, put the titles on the line tonight?
If he came, give me the right money, he can have them on the line.
Wow.
All it takes is the right amount of money.
It's a little bit of money.
It's all money.
A little money.
I don't trust Joe and his checks. It's got to be cash. If he would have given me a check a week ago and it cleared, that's another story. If he came to me tonight, I don't trust him as far as you can throw him.
Okay.
And you can't throw him very far because he looks like Tubby.
Fair enough.
Oh, poor Slim.
Joe worked for me when he was skinny like Dean. What the hell happened to him?
You know, that's the sign of a good wife. That's what I hear.
He does have a good wife.
Now, I don't... Okay.
This is serious business.
Yeah,
give me the right check. Yeah.
My last question.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second.
last question, Joel. Before
I ask him about a strategy.
Not a strategy. I'm not asking anything about the strategy. Tonight we are going to see the debut of the boss's chair. Are you personally looking forward to seeing Mike Tartaglia have his own segment, his own talk show, his own time filler tonight?
Mike who?
Tartaglia.
Who?
Bruno. I'm sorry.
Oh!
Mike Bruno.
Mike Bruno. And where did he get that name from?
I believe it was you. We have him on.
No! So I created Mike Bruno, and now you want to know if I'm going to be interested in what he says in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Hell no!
Well, Mr. Good Blackheart, it was a...
Where was that hand last?
Well, my hands were up here, so I can shake your hand. All right.
Brady!
It was a pleasure.
Well, it was all yours.
That's fine.
Good luck tonight.
Can I go back to my stead now?
Yes, yes, go back. I have no idea what you're doing tonight. I don't know what's going on. You won't tell me.
Well, that's two of us.
A damn thing.
That's two of us.
Fair enough.
I have no clue.
Oh, I do have one further question.
Oh, you lying sack of...
Do you know where Bandito is now?
Who?
Bandito.
Who?
Bandito.
Bandito, is he in the house? Last thing I heard, he was supposed to be here, and he was like in Voorhees or something. Bandito disappeared. He wants to work for his pissant little, you know, promotions all over the area.
Hey, what are you doing? Get
that's his call. Hey, you know, Double D.
Get out of here.
Go to hell home.
I will, probably around 11 o'clock. Always a pleasure.
That was an honor.
And don't forget it.
Always a pleasure.
Again, let me put the gold on.
He does have all four unified titles.
And he's going to have even more tonight.
I have two unified titles.
You think
titles.
He's getting...
You idiot, I got two unified titles, four belts. I have four unified titles.
And he's going to have a trophy tonight. I can't wait.
Twice in a row, Midnight Sensation. Why? Because of me.
I believe it after this.
Woo!
Woo!
There you go.
Look at you trying to get them.
Well, you know, I have to end it on a...
All right, now I do have a caller on the line, and they have indicated that they want to speak with you. So, 813, we have you on the line. Just state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Florida, and I was wondering if you could just ask Missy who her favorite Canadian female wrestler is.
Oh, no, I could totally get in trouble for this one.
Oh,
who
no.
My favorite female Canadian wrestler is. Oh, Jesus. There's so many ways I could go wrong with this answer.
I'm pretty sure you would know who would expect to hear one specific name.
Oh, wow. I don't know what's going on here.
I'm trying to think who I know from that's Canadian who's in Florida.
Are you, in fact, Mystery Caller, Canadian?
Yes, I am.
Ah. Okay. Can we give away what part?
I may or may not have worked in OSPW with one Missy Sampson.
Do you have
any clues? No!
Missy!
Wait, stop! Hold on! There's no way this is Angel.
Hi!
Oh my god! Really? Are you serious?
What's up, girl?
I'm going to cry right now.
No,
ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that don't know, I was like, there's no way this is her. Because I'm sure you guys don't know who this is. Online right now is the old Angel Williams. You guys probably know her better as Angelina Love.
Hi.
Oh.
What's up, baby?
And I can't believe you just called in. I'm speechless, which since you know me so well is pretty hard to do.
I was laying on my couch watching American Horror Story going through Twitter, and I saw the little tweet saying, call this number, Missy Sampson, live now. And I was like, yep, on it.
I love you so much. You're so awesome.
I haven't seen you in a while. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Better than ever.
Enjoying Florida life?
Oh, absolutely. We were just up in New York last weekend, so I'm glad to be, actually the last 2 weeks in a row I've been up in New York, so I'm enjoying the warmer weather down here.
Well, I wish I'd been able to catch up with you while you were up here.
When are you coming down to visit?
I got to work on that. Everyone keeps yelling at me that I need to come down to Florida and visit. There's too many of my people from Florida. I do need to get down there. Unfortunately, I just found out yesterday that I'm getting laid off from my normal job. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to fly myself down there, but it will happen.
That's the normal job.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it pays my bills. Wrestling certainly doesn't. But it will happen. You and I will have
a
huge
reunion. Wait
a
minute, you're a wrestler. You make millions and millions of dollars, right?
Oh, yes, totally.
I feel like a secondary character here right now. Now,
hi, guys.
This is amazing. Welcome to the show.
You reunite me and I'll call her Angelina for the wrestling fans that are listening that probably know her better as Angelina. Although, hysterically, I'm still in her phone as Lily.
Yes, you are.
you reunite me and Angelina together, and we could totally take over the show. You're going to have to cut us off because we just won't stop.
Nah, go ahead. I'll just quit.
Well, I have another caller. I just want to interject that. They want to talk as well. It's 215, so it's a little bit more local.
Stay on the line, ladies.
Okay. Now, caller 215.
Angel, stay here in case I need backup.
State
okay.
your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brady from Philadelphia. I can't believe you would put me on and you have a knockout calling up.
No, put him back on hold. Forget him.
I'll go on hold. I just want to listen.
He's the TNA guy. Do you have a question for Angelina?
Well, way to put me on the spot. Angelina, how's everything going?
Everything is wonderful. Thank you.
We actually met probably last year. I'm friends with Nick and Stacy. I guess Nick or Stacy at this point.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. How are the bookings going, independent wise?
Nick, aka Sin Bodhi, aka Kizarni, my best girlfriend. I mean, guy friend.
I love that guy.
Well, it's the Toronto,
he's good
the Toronto
people.
Community. The Toronto community. It's like very tight. All those wrestlers.
Yeah, and see, that's why I had to pose the question to Missy, because I think I did dub her an honorary Canadian.
You absolutely did. I was dubbed honorary Canadian and being dubbed honorary Canadian as a female wrestler by the Canadian female women wrestlers is like huge, because it's so I actually name dropped you Thursday. I did a show called Blow in New Jersey. It was their first women's show.
Yes. Kevin Matthews wanted me to do that show, and I was like, you know.
I had such fun tweeting that I was going to New Jersey for Blow, as if I was making some big drug run. It was awesome. But there were two girls.
I thought it was hilarious.
I loved it. But there were two girls who came down from Canada. One of them's named Jules Malone. And I said to her.
I have known her since the very, 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 very beginning of my indie days, because she was like the only girl manager or any girl that was doing anything on the indies when I started, because it was just the only girls that were doing anything were like either strippers or who were just there for, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. or like girlfriends of the guys who were just managing on the show or something like that. And she was kind of only the other girl. So like her and I would always do shows together, both just as managers. But I know she's actually been training at Squared Circle in Toronto, which is where I trained at. And Taylor Wilde and Tracy and everybody. So, yeah, we keep in touch on Facebook.
That's how I dropped her name. I said to her, because I'd never heard of her or the other girl that came down, and I called her over and I said, who trains you in Canada? I said, where do you train? And she goes, I train at Squared Circle. I said, Fuego? And she goes, yeah. I literally yelled the whole locker room. I go, for the record, ladies, if you ever have to work a Canadian female who you are not familiar with, ask them where they trained. If they state they trained at Squared Circle with Rob Fuego, you're golden. She kind of looked at me. And somebody goes, huh? And I go, all my favorite Canadian female workers trained up there. And they're like, who? And I'm like, Tracy Brooks, Angel Williams. Like, I was wrestling off the Rob Fuego female trainees.
Yeah, Fuego was always great. Actually, I think he liked training the girls more than the guys, because he would always just, like, he loved to teach us all the lucha stuff, you know what I mean, and teach us how to do things that girls weren't doing. And, you know, luckily for him, he had a decent set of athletic girls there at the time. And we probably talked back less, too, I'm not sure. But, yeah, like, I mean, when I trained up there, it was fun. Like, everybody in Toronto was wanting to train there. That was definitely the place to go. And then I would always just go hop across the border there to Buffalo and do those OSPW shows. And I was going to get you to tell them how, like, we were, like, PICs, Partners in Crime, yo. We were
in our little faction, which was awesome because I was in the Canadian faction. It was me, you, Sean Spears, and Eddie Osborne, and I was the only.
Oh my god!
We would like walk out carrying Canadian flags and stuff. I was American. I was the only American in the Canadian faction. It was awesome. I loved it.
That's why you're honorary.
See?
So I have a question. Angela, I love watching you on TNA. What? Just a simple question. What made you want to make the change and leave the company to do something else?
Well, I'm not going to keep talking about that. I did my one big, like, post-TNA interview with the Monday Night Mayhem guys.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that's still available online to download. I don't usually, like, talk about this and that anymore. It was just my time.
I can answer that question.
Go ahead.
Because she's so multi-talented that wrestling for TNA, I mean, is a conflicting schedule because they shoot on off days, and now she's going to be this big, huge movie star.
Wow.
There we go.
She needs to free up her space to shoot some movies so she could be
I shoot for the stars, man.
Yeah, okay. That's a good opinion.
But, hey, I don't want to take away from Missy's interview. I just wanted to call in and surprise her and say I love you, girl.
I love you, and you did, and I am so unbelievably touched that you did. I love you, and I can't wait to see you. And,
Who'd have thunk it?
Exactly. And I'll actually just call you to talk sometime soon.
Hell yeah. Lily?
All right,
do it, Luscious Lily.
I will, Angel Williams.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for surprising me. That was awesome.
Miss Williams, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow.
I love that girl.
I had no idea there was even a connection there. And you're an honorary.
Oh, my friends are awesome. Yeah.
All right, Dan, we're back. That was, of course, Angelina Love.
She let me down lightly.
She did. But that was Angelina Love calling in.
I don't really want to talk to you, eh?
During the Missy Sampson interview, which is available in the archives on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. Don't forget about iTunes. It's a very handy invention that can bring you right up to date into 2012. So we have that available for you. We also, like I said,
try not to giggle like a girl anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know. But online, we have John from Rhode Island. I'm going to get him on.
Oh, boy.
Hey, John, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening to you. Happy early Thanksgiving to you both.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, hey, you're on the line. What do you got to say?
Well, I actually thought I would give a Thanksgiving song to you.
Oh, this is great.
Well, this is actually an early December Christmas song, and you'll know what this song sounds like.
Okay.
Dean, you rock more than that, Fox, because you have got a pile of locks inside your box. That is why Dean rocks, that is why Dean rocks. That's why Dean, you rock, that's why Dean, you rock. That's why Dean, you rock more than that, Fox.
All right. I love how you put the little jazz feel at the end. A little vibrato.
Well,
Welcome for giving gift.
Well, thank you. I certainly do appreciate that. I'm going to enjoy my pork roast tomorrow.
I know. That's what you told me.
I did tell you. We're buddies, John.
Definitely.
Are you going to come down next year for the In the Room Conclave? I'd love to meet you.
I would want to.
Okay, well, we're going to talk more about that, I guess.
Oh, we have to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you call into all the shows. You'd have a chance to meet Damian Dragon. I know he's one of your guys. Brady, myself, Dan, you'd meet everybody.
Yes.
You have to do it.
It'll be a mixed-up World Thanksgiving family, because we'll be like a big family radio friend.
I would love it. I would love it.
Yeah.
So, John,
I would like that. I would talk to him any day over Captain Dave.
So, John, you have a hilarious Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and you too.
Keep writing those songs, boy.
You got it. Take care.
Okay, so that was John from Rhode Island. He is the best, podcast fan out there today.
He really supports In the Room, BradyHicks.com. He supports Hell in the Cell, Nerd Herders. He and I were going back and forth at Nerd Herders.
He's a great guy, Dan.
I just doesn't pretend to be involved with anything that he's not, or work for any of the companies, or talk about a fake website that doesn't exist. He's just a real good guy.
He certainly is. And we all know the BradyHicks.com does exist, Dan.
Yes, BradyHicks.com does exist, and that guy's not part of it.
You're talking about Captain Dave. I'm going to call you out right now. What is it about Captain Dave that gets you?
I would never talk about John like that. John's a good guy.
But
what is the problem with Captain Dave?
Yes.
I don't like that he pretends to be. Get a clue. You're not part of anything. Stop it.
I don't think he understands that.
I don't think he does either, but then it's just fun.
Well, anyway, I'm glad we cleared.
My favorite part. Listen, I let it go. We started. I let it go. And then who's the other guy that got into it with him? Was it
the
Joe or something?
I don't know.
And they started cursing each other. It was beautiful. That's like, well, I'm not going to take it that far. Make fun of speech patterns. He makes fun of the way I laugh. It's cool.
As long as there's give and take, my friend.
No, there is. And you know what? I became a big fan of his, quite honestly.
Yeah. Tell that story.
I told you this.
No, tell the story.
I told you. Oh, you want me to tell this?
Yeah, tell the story.
When they grabbed it, the Justin and America Tech Tola match this past Saturday at New Moon Rising Wrestling, NMRWrestling.com. At one point, Captain Dave's reporting sign unfortunately became a victim of another Nose Holds Bards match. They got to stop booking these or he's going to run out of signs. But Justin America grabbed the Captain reporting sign and Dave, he puts his hands on his head. He goes, "Oh no, not again!" It's just beautiful. And right there, I was like, "You know what? I think I understand him now."
You know what? There's a scoop slam that will be coming out on Friday, where the remnants of the sign and the table that Justin America was driven through will be seen for all to. You know, I'd like to see how you train. Well, I'd like to see how you train to get driven through a table. That's what I want to see. But.
Oh, yeah. You know, there was a guy I was talking to. He's a good friend, too, and I really hated his comment. He was watching wrestling, and he said, "Oh, now I remember why I watch wrestling. I don't watch wrestling anymore. These fake performers that call themselves athletes."
Oh, well, that's...
I said... do you want to rethink that? I mean, I don't care. I'm not an athlete by any means anymore at all. But do you want to rethink that? And he goes, "No, wrestling's stupid." And blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm not going to have this argument. I used to have this argument in school all the time. Wrestling's fake. Well, that has nothing to do with their athletic ability. It's not fake. It's pretty strict.
Agreed, Dan. Agreed.
I'll get off my soapbox.
Now, what I'm going to do is go on. We had Jesse Kay. We had the pleasure of having Jesse Kay grace Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. She gave a very good interview. And, Dan, feel free to go get some pumpkin pie. It's a long one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in its entirety, Dan.
Eat pumpkin pie.
Now, Jesse, welcome to the show. We're quite excited to have you on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. Thank you guys for having me. I love that theme song, man. It gets me so pumped. I feel like I should yell at somebody now. Shut up, guys. Shut up.
Right. It gets you pumped. It's ready to go. Now, I briefly said it when I was bringing you on that your story is really an inspirational one. You were a young girl, I believe you, because I watched the Diva Dirt series, and a young girl who fell in love with wrestling, I believe, at the age of 8. And
wow, that's pretty specific there. You have been studying up.
I have been. I have been researching.
Nothing else to do, really.
Yeah, I really don't, after I get done the gym myself. But now, you fell in love with wrestling, but you didn't think you quite had it. Just go into, like, when you started, like, what hooked you into pro wrestling just to start out?
Well, I was in the 5th grade. I remember that much. I don't remember the age, so I guess that's 8, right? Something like that. And
might be 10, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Whatever. Something like that. And I was literally flipping through the channels one night. No big, like, there was nobody in my family that liked it and got me hooked. There was no friend. I was literally, by chance, sitting in my bedroom, going through the channels and said, oh, that looks interesting. And I think at the time, Jericho and Triple H were feuding. So it was around that time period. And I, 7-Eleven at the time, was doing a campaign with SummerSlam, I guess, or something like that. And then that's how I got the, you know, the times and when to watch. And then that I got hooked ever since. And then my dad made the mistake of taking me to my first event. And then he said, oh, it's just going to be a phase. Don't worry. He told my mom, don't worry. It'll just be a phase. She won't like it. And then, well, you see where that went. So. And then, go ahead.
Go ahead. You take it away. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. And then it was like that was the thing that really got me through in school. I wasn't the popular kid or anything like that, you know, in elementary school, middle school. All my projects, if I had to do something, it would be based on wrestling. Like I remember I did a project. I like to do anything video. So I recorded like skits or whatever from my social studies class, and then I would make it into a TV show. And for that TV show, my commercials would be wrestling based. So like the next pay per view, and I like would record the pay per view stuff. Like I remember it was like a triple threat for Judgment Day for like with Eddie Guerrero or something. And my teacher's like, "What relevance does that have?" I'm like, "It's a commercial for my TV show. What more do you want?"
What was the moment? If you can remember, what was the moment, either live or on TV, that you said, that's it? That's what I want to do.
I don't know if it was. I think it was a collective thing because it was always something that was part of me. So anything extracurricular, I used to write a lot on my computer, like storylines or whatever, and I would put me in the stuff. I was always the Undertaker's manager, and then me and him would, like, fall in love or something stupid. But, but yeah, I know, right? And, I love you so much, you know. But he was the biker taker. He was biker taker. So, and then, you know, me and Sarah would get into it or something stupid. But, you know, that's beyond the point. But it was always something that was part of me, so I don't think there was a moment where there was a question of what I wanted to be, if I wanted to be in the wrestling business. But the moment when I said, you know, do you want to do it yourself and get in the ring, I remember that. That wasn't at a show, that wasn't watching it on TV, that was actually at the gym the first time that I had went with my friend Kate. I was on the elliptical, and I was on the lowest resistance, the lowest anything, and I could not stay on the thing for 5 minutes without getting, you know, absolutely out of breath and winded. And I was like, wow. At the time, I was in junior year of high school when I was, what, how old is that, 16, 17?
That's 16, 17, yeah.
Yeah, and I was completely out of breath on this elliptical. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's a problem here. So, and then I was like, you know, what is really stopping you? You're young. That's the thing. I think at that point, you're like, no, why even try? I'm like where I am. But then I realized, you know, you're so young. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose, really? Except for all this weight, what do you have to lose? So
yeah,
I just went from there.
Now, who was your favorite wrestler?
Well, that was a good, yeah, I answered that, I guess. The Undertaker, definitely,
Undertaker.
For sure.
Yeah.
It kind of evolved, though, because when I first started watching when I was younger, I was like, oh, my God, it's The Rock. And then I loved The Rock. And then for, like, 2 months, I liked Goldberg. And then, It was like a quick transition, and then Undertaker from then on out. So I had my fangirl phase.
Was there a particular female wrestler that inspired you or had anything to do with motivation?
Well, when I was younger, I kind of had a, that's the word, I guess I envied the female wrestlers, because I had like a negativeness, I guess is the word, towards them, because I envied them so much. But now I have learned to appreciate. I go back and I watch a lot of stuff. Now, recently, a lot of Victoria, a lot of Trish Stratus, Mickie James, Jazz, Ivory, Molly Holly, nice. Big props. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of my research, because at the time when I was watching them, I didn't appreciate or take it in as I should have.
Now, one of the matches, I'm kind of going with what you were saying, but one of the matches that I always thought was like the apex of, there's actually two, but the apex of women's wrestling was Victoria and Trish Stratus in a hardcore match. I believe it was SummerSlam 99 or something. Have you seen that match?
I have, not recently, but I have seen it, and it just goes to show that women are capable of doing anything that the men are. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. I was just actually talking about this with my friend about Victoria, because she can do absolutely anything. Because I guess that it's preconceived that a woman doesn't have to do everything a man does, but she, you know, she goes in the hard way. She, you know, she does a moonsault as one of her signature moves. So I'm like, I just love this woman.
Yeah, definitely. Now, when you started this journey, you said you were a junior in high school. Now, there was a lot of weight loss that went along with this before you could even consider going to wrestling school. Now, just talk about that journey a little bit.
Sure. When I first started losing weight in March 2008, I did. It took about a year to lose about 30 pounds, and that's pretty good, I guess. But at the same time, I was a person going from no physical activity to some physical activity, and then, you know, I was trying to eat better, but I still needed that extra push and that extra guidance. You know what I mean? So it's actually quite funny, because a local independent guy who actually got signed to FCW. Helped me to lose the rest of the weight. He helped me lose an extra 30, 40 pounds, and helped me gain a lot of muscle. So that summer of 2009 is when I lost the rest of my weight and really got me going. And then he opened up the world of independent wrestling, too, something that I never knew about and something that obviously is a key to me today. So.
Now, in that series on Diva Dirt, you were talking about you went to a school before you went to Gilbert School. Wasn't a good thing for you. But then when you hooked up with Dwayne Gill, things really clicked for you.
Yeah, I was their first student at Gilbert's Pro Wrestling Academy. I was trained by the Holy Rollers, Earl the Pearl and Ramblin' Rich, and that's in Severn, Maryland. And I can't tell you how great they are and have been. I couldn't be trained by better individuals who have been there, who have been taught by the right people, and as I just tell people, I was brainwashed by credible people, so I'm pretty fortunate to have done that, you know what I mean?
Now, also, part of a lot of people, I don't think, know what goes into wrestling training. They think that, I don't know, they don't really think of wrestlers as athletes, so to say, you know, just the common everyday person. Now, in that video, you're doing Chinese rolls, I think they're called, and just doing a lot of different things.
Mexican rolls.
Mexican. I don't know where I got Chinese fire drill, I think.
You're racist. That's why.
That's probably why, yes.
Or
but
you're hungry.
Now, one or the other, yes. But I'm either racist or hungry. But so just explain to people out there, like, what goes into a training session at Gilbert's?
Well, as I like to say, even though Gilbert's is, you know, you're going to go through a lot, wrestling training at Gilbert's is like the Hilton in comparison to a lot of wrestling schools where they tell you to, you know, we're going to go outside and we're going to do 500 Hindu squats, and then we're going to run 5 miles before you can get in the ring. I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to have trainers that said, even though I'm not saying that they didn't push you or go make you pay your dues in the ring or whatever, but they always said that the ring is going to beat you up enough. And so, but a lot of schools have the mindset that we're going to beat you up, you know, we're going to just beat you up to the ground, make you quit first type thing. So, but, you know, you still, we run our drills with our Mexican rolls and our basic bumps. And as I like to say, and I like to explain to people that don't have any concepts of what it feels like, I say I get into mini car crashes every night.
Wow.
So you've lost a little weight, you've trained. Mm-hmm. Describe what the feeling is to finally get in the ring. I know you did some ballet work as well. What is it actually like to go out for the first time and be in front of a crowd?
It was being that valet. It's a gradual experience. So I don't know if I've had the wow, oh my gosh, you know, the world has slowed down and I see all the people and the dramatic music plays and I don't think I've had that moment yet. But it's a great feeling to go back and read. I used to write old journal entries on LiveJournal, and I used to, you know, think about how great it would be and what I dreamt of doing and all that stuff. And now to see it kind of happen slowly but surely and to have these experiences, it's pretty surreal. And, you know, not many people set out and have a dream, and then I'm actually doing it, really. So it's kind of cool.
All right, now, I've asked this before, I'm going to ask you as well. I have a problem with the fans getting into women's wrestling. Does it bother you, or does it affect you on the independent circuit as much? It doesn't seem like there's a connect between the audience and the women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that affects the independents as well, or is it a different reaction than what you see on TV?
I think it's a good question. Let's see if I can answer this. If you are on television, I don't know about. I should watch more TNA, or Impact, or whatever.
Whatever
the
heck it's called, yeah.
But on WWE, they really don't have enough time, and I think that they don't get the reaction, say, that the superstars of the WWE universe get, is because there's no emotional attachment. In order to have a reaction, the fans need to have an emotional attachment. And in order to have an emotional attachment, you need to have a character. And if you're able to have that character, then you should be able to get a reaction from the fans. Now, if you're an independent worker and you're not getting a reaction from the fans and the audience, then you're not establishing yourself as a character.
Right.
That's my opinion. I don't know if it has to deal with being a guy or a girl or what, but...
Also, a thing, and please slap me in the face, tell me, and let me know I'm wrong about this. It also seems like there's a certain... number of female wrestlers that, again, I've asked this question before, looks like that they're going in slow motion.
Right.
What is it different about, why does it look like that? Is it something that they're just, as you said, not getting enough time, or is it they're trying harder because they have a harder ladder to climb because of the men being in the spotlight?
I don't know. I think it might be hesitancy. I think there's a lot of factors with it because a lot of women don't have that confidence because they don't have that ring time, because they don't have the training to back it up. You know what I mean? So I think it's a lot of factors. I don't think you can generalize women in general. But,
yeah. You
know, if it helps any, one of the key rules that I was always taught is if you think you're going slow, go slower. So,
oh, wow. That's an answer I didn't expect again. I'm glad I asked you that. No, because I love watching women's wrestling, and my girlfriend gets behind it a lot, and it's sometimes disappointing on two fronts as far as the audience reaction and some of the in-ring performances. And I've seen, on the other hand, I've seen fantastic, amazing matches.
This is my last question. About the weight loss and about in-ring performance. First, about the weight loss. What keeps you, somebody who needs to lose some weight, what keeps you motivated?
Keeps me motivated. Always thinking about my future goals. And right now, for me, my motivation is what my, you know, for me personally, what is my booking next month and what do I want to look where? You know what I mean? So it's always to keep in mind, because for me at this point, it's, you never know where your next opportunity is going to be to meet somebody that's going to take you to the next level. So I always want to be make sure that I'm at the top and at the best I can be, you know what I mean? So, but at the point of when I was losing a lot of the weight, you know, at that point, I always kept in my mind what I wanted to do. And it's not for my goals to be wrestling, but just to, you know, be healthy in general. It's no fun to be at that point where you just physically can't do anything.
What keeps you going? Like, you've been in the gym for an hour. What would keep you going that extra half hour, the extra hour? Just the thoughts in your head, the goals ahead of you?
Yeah, and pre-workout supplements. They help. I never took that stuff before, but now I've been starting to take them. I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
I mean, the thing is and what I find, I told Dean this is going to turn into Fat Guy Opens Up. It's just the laziness and trying to find that motivation to get your ass back into the gym and do it again, do it again, and do it again. Because, you know, quite frankly, I love pizza, okay? it's hard for, quite frankly, people like me to get a kick in the butt, and I was just looking for advice.
Right? Hey, keep in contact, and I can help you. Honest to God. Also, bodybuilding.com. Like, I go in there all the time, and I see these women that are absolutely fantastic. By I'm like, oh my gosh, and then I'm like, oh, I just want to go to the gym right now. So I think the gym is the easy part for me, but unfortunately losing weight and all that is 90% in the kitchen.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, it is 90%. Totally. It's 90% what you eat, unfortunately. I know.
Boo. Was on board up to this point.
I certainly was. It's been nice talking to you, Jesse.
No. Okay. 90% of it's in the kitchen. Go ahead. And the other 10%, I guess, is running your ass off.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm a person that runs, like, I used to. I haven't ran long distance since last November, but I've run half marathons. And, you know, it's unfortunately, it's a lot what you eat. If you get that under control, I swear.
Wow.
Now, Omega, you're a guy who also runs marathons, if I'm not mistaken. Are you in agreement with Jesse here?
Yeah, I think what motivated me was actually choosing to, is a goal. And what I did was a lot of little races, little 5Ks and 10Ks. So I always had something out there I had to train for, and because I knew I had to do it, and I paid for it, so I knew I was going to do that. So I always trained for that because I didn't want to suck when I actually got there.
Right? You know? Exactly. Yes.
You know, but I mean, yeah, but to Jesse's point, it's in the kitchen. You know, stop. You know, trade your pizza for handful of nuts.
Oh, sacrilege.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want, a handful of nuts, man. It goes
double entendres for the win.
It goes back to what Jesse said earlier. I mean, what you said, Omega, stop laughing. It goes back to, I mean, when I had hockey games, you know, that's how I had motivation. Now it's like, well, you know, I'm just going to go sit behind a desk for an hour. What's the point? So I got to find, the key is to find something to go for. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really a good start. Have that goal. As a guy who has now completed his first week at the gym, I think it's define that thing. Right now I'm just motivating my friend Ryan that we've talked about before. So I'm kind of like his motivational force. So that's my goal, is for him to certainly reach his goals.
How do your legs feel, Dean?
I'd rather not talk about that. I did some squats last night. Man, my goodness.
Oh, man. I mean, you go from 180 tops, and then I'll stop talking about weight loss. You go from 180 tops and almost benching over your weight and playing hockey to just what my weight is now, which I won't reveal. So, yeah, thanks for taking the time out and let me ask you questions. I appreciate that.
No problem. Please feel free. Ask away.
Okay, so what I want to do now is talk a little bit about your career. You're certainly getting out there a little bit more. You're booked for ECWA on October 15th. Yeah. You're a mainstay pretty much in MCW. That's Maryland Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And you've made your way up to Allentown, Pennsylvania for WXWC4. So just go into, like, what that feels like. You're getting more bookings. Does it feel like you're starting to get somewhere?
A little bit, I guess, in the broad scheme of things. I guess it's kind of intimidating and all that stuff. You know what I mean? You don't realize how much wrestling is all about you and what you contribute until you start traveling, getting your own bookings. You know, when you're training and you're not really thinking about traveling yet, you're like, yeah, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do it, and then you realize, you know, it's a lot more than you think, because not only are you getting out there, but you have to develop your character, or what are you going to sell, what is your slogan, what are you going to say on the microphone if you're given the opportunity. So, I mean, I'm not going to say I was sheltered with MCW, because that's where I grew up, where I started, but, you know, my trainers are there, and it's just, I was just very, very lucky to learn the basics, I guess, there, so I can branch out like I am. So I'm very thankful for doing that. I'm also in Delaware, going to South Carolina, so I'm a happy camper. You know, it takes time, but I think I'm doing well.
Good, and very young in your career, too. I mean, how long have you been wrestling at this point?
I started to really, really seriously training in July of 2010.
Wow. So just 2 years, and you're certainly making your mark already. Now, do you have, like, any events that are coming up that you want to let people know about?
There's a few. I would like to say that this weekend, August 25th, is our MCW show, Aggravated Assault. That's in Dundalk, Maryland. There's also going to be an MCW show on the 7th. That is in White Marsh, Maryland. Matt Hardy's going to be there. It's like a Ravens kickoff type thing. That's pretty exciting. And I believe I am wrestling on that one. There's also CPW, which is Central Pennsylvania Wrestling, I believe, on the 8th.
Okay.
That's exciting, too. And Indie Girls in New Jersey, I believe, on the September 15th. So there's a few stuff coming up. I'm excited.
Okay, so that sounds certainly exciting. Now, the last question is just really for my own curiosity. Now, what is Dwayne Gill like, just as a guy? Because we've seen him as Gilbert, we've seen him as you know, the preliminary wrestler, Dwayne Gill. I mean, what's he like?
He's definitely one of the nicest people that I've ever met. In the wrestling business, there's very few people that you can legitimately trust, but he's definitely one of those people that would do anything for you if you asked for it. And he's always joking, messing around. Just a fun-hearted, great guy, honestly.
That's good to hear. It certainly looks like it with that series. Of course, that's Diva Dirt. And / Jesse K. Diva, what is it, the dash, I guess, Dirt, / Jesse K. That's where that is. Now, Jesse, where can your fans follow you?
Well, you can go on the Twitter. On the Twitters, you can tweet me on the Twitters. Miss Jesse K, MS Jesse K, and then Facebook.com/MS Jesse K as well. So, you know, follow me. Be a friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's K-A-Y-E.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Big props to you. Thank
and it's Miss MS.
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Yeah, so, Jesse, it has certainly been a pleasure, and I look forward to maybe after the Indie Girl show coming up, we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you in ECWA action, opponent to be announced, coming up, and that is October 15th, I believe it is. So,
yes.
October 13th, I'm sorry, and that's in Carney's Point. So that's going to be exciting. But, Jesse, you have a great night.
Thank you,
Jesse.
You guys. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, so everyone, that was Jesse Kay. And,
wow.
That was a great interview.
That was an amazing interview.
So that was a great interview, Dan.
It was a great interview. That's a good edit right there. That's how I sound most of the time, anyway.
Well, you know.
It's like Andy Reid.
I'll tell you, Dan, that interview brings back memories.
Yes, it does. Brings back. When you used to go to the gym.
Hey, I had a foot injury.
Let me tell you.
Nearly ended my career, I tell you.
Going back to the running from Tank Tolan. I haven't seen a man who smokes as much as you do run that fast ever.
Pure fear, Dan.
I mean, you and I got a great shot of it. Just a perspective shot right over Tank's shoulder, and you just looks great.
Pure, unadulterated fear, Dan.
Fear. You should have been. You keep calling a big man dummy.
Well. Anyway, speaking of dummies, Bob, the Reverend Bob Levy, he has a feud with Howard Stern, and I decided...
Who's the dummy in this one?
I don't know. But I decided to ask him... I decided to ask him about it. Well, I was just going to ask what the relationship is now, because I know you had trouble with Howard... what's the relationship like now with Howard?
There is none. There would never be one unless they all went on lie detector tests. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because of what they did to me, it was anybody that's basically, I can't say anybody, but I just didn't want to be on the show anymore. I wanted to move to Opie and Anthony. They were not going to let me. You know what I mean? I was upset about the Artie thing that they let him just lay around, and I spoke my mind and. You can't speak your mind, and I said, I want to go where my friends are, and they're like, I was the only one that wasn't allowed to do both shows, so, and then I never thought they were going to have me banned from the building for beating up four security guards, because I do that every day, so you know what I mean, it's such a joke, but it's business, it's like, it's sickening, and I don't even know how much he knows about what, Tim Sabian did and Jarrett, because, for what I did when my comeback was 10 times worse than what they did to me, and basically you're putting somebody in a position that if I was telling the truth, you were putting his life in danger. Mm-hmm. If I was telling the truth, I'm playing. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
And somebody should not do that. And I think if he knew that, he'd fire his fucking fat, lazy ass in a second. Because, if I was that crazy,
Yeah.
I meant everything I said. Believe me. But it was just a thing to get his attention. Nobody would return my calls. But he's got people that fucking speaking for him, lying for him, without telling him. And they could be putting him in danger without him even knowing. Okay. And I'm being honest what I did, I did it as a goof. Because if I'm gonna kill somebody, they're gonna be the last one to know. I grew up in somewhere where you don't tell people you're gonna kill them. I especially did it on internet radio, so I knew it was gonna get out there.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, you know, I figured I'd get a call. What's the problem, Bob? You know, you've been here for 10 years. You write for us. You do this. You do everything we ask you. Nothing. You know what I mean? I'm the bad guy. Well, fuck you. You know?
Well, I got you. I got you.
I don't deal with that shit, man.
So that was the Reverend Bob Levy talking.
If you ever want to talk to somebody who's real, just ask Reverend Bob Levy a few questions.
That's true. That was a very big episode. Everybody on that show was just amazing. It was Tony Nese was on that one. Joel Goodhart made his 27-minute late call. Just a lot of.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was. And then,
I'm sure he was busy trying to speak English to the Midnight Sensation.
Yeah, and then you had Chris Wilde called in while Joel was on, and then Brady called in. I thought it was Breaker.
Oh, I'm so glad you left that in the intro this episode, because I never want to forget how painful that was.
That was like pulling teeth, Dan.
It was like Breaker. We're gonna, and you and I tried. You tried twice. I tried once. You asked a question. Well, you know, it's this and that, man. And then I tried, like, come on, Breaker, and what are you going to do? It's going to be cool, awesome. And then you tried again. It was like, I smoke pot, man.
One like, or the other. I'm not sure. It was either PBR or I don't know.
God. If everybody could talk like Joel Goodhart.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously.
It's an amazing thing. You have some good talkers. The whole Breaker Morant thing came around because I wanted to get a full flavor of people out there, people involved with ECWA, people involved with the independents. And I went to him and he agreed, and good God.
Yeah, I'll do the show, man.
But I would like to announce on the 19th a very special Christmas holiday edition of
The Return of Breaker Morant.
We're going to have Breaker's Epic Christmas. I'm announcing it right now, Dan.
Oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this.
Breaker's Epic Christmas.
Breaker Morant's Epic Jingle. He's going to sing. Jingle bells, whatever. All the way, I guess. Whatever. You know, sometimes it's fun to ride in this open sleigh. I don't even know what a one-horse open sleigh, I don't even know what that means, man.
I'm Breaker Morant. Nice to meet you.
You know, yeah.
So, Dan, sometimes we talk about serious topics as well.
It's seriously disgusting that he has no personality.
And one of our biggest interviews, I thought, was David DeCook. Now, of course, David DeCook has written over 500 articles on the Centralia, Pennsylvania plight. He has also written two books.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
There's an update since we last talked. I think the last people were moved out, weren't they?
I'm not 100% sure, Dan.
When are we going to talk to him again?
Well, I'm going to have a tour for my birthday led by David DeCook.
Yes, and for those who are big fans of our show, we'll both be there.
Oh, you are making it.
Well, I'm already going to be up in the area that weekend for hockey games.
Cool.
Who needs the NHL when you have the AHL playing locally?
There you go. So we had David DeCook on, and I asked him about why people still care about Centralia. My last question, that's what it's going to be. The lasting legacy of Centralia, why, after 50 years now, people still care about it?
Well, there's a number of reasons. You know, it's a weird story. I mean, you know, frankly, and that keeps people interested, you know, too. You know, it's the idea of a fire burning underneath people's houses, underneath a town. I mean, that's what initially interested me in the story when I heard Tony Gaughan, you know, talk about the fire burning underground near his house. It was just, you know, an incredible thing to hear. And so there's people who stay interested in the story, you know, for that reason. You know, and then it's just a great human interest story, again, of people struggling to save themselves and their community and ultimately losing that fight, you know, and having to leave the town that they loved. As far as what, you know, Centralia, you know, what the greater meaning of it is, I mean, I think really it goes to show that, you know, when you're extracting energy, you know, from the ground, you have to be careful of the environment. I mean, that wasn't done, you know, in any of the coal mining that was done in Pennsylvania, you know, beginning in the mid-19th century and continuing, you know, on up to the mid-20th century. It wasn't until that law that was passed, really, you know, by, you know, President Jimmy Carter and the Congress that mining truly came under control as far as having to clean it up right away and not just, you know, walk away and maybe somebody will come back and fill in the hole, you know, 50 years later. Now you have to do it the right way. But there's still, I mean, as you drive through, you know, northeastern Pennsylvania and the Centralia area and the Shamokin area, I mean, you see evidence everywhere of that century of coal mining that went on, that century of unregulated coal mining. And it's particularly timely, I think, you know, in Pennsylvania, you know, because we're kind of at, you know, the center of the Marcellus Shale gas boom, you know, and already there's environmental problems with that. You know, it's hard to decide which way to come down on the shale gas issue because those new supplies of gas have lowered everybody's gas prices. I mean, my gas bill this winter was a lot lower than it's been in a long time, and that shale gas is the reason because, you know, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. But you don't want people to have, you know, flaming tap water, you know, in their houses. You know, you don't want their water to be, you know, contaminated with drilling chemicals. You know, so there has to be, you know, very strict regulation of this resource, the extraction of this resource, so that we don't end up, you know, with another 100 years of environmental damage like we had with coal.
I don't know, flaming tap water sounds fun.
Not much you can do with it, though, except to, you know, impress your friend.
Well, that was David DeCook talking about the Centralia impact.
There's a very intelligent man talking a very serious problem, and here comes Dan Law with the comment about flaming fire.
Flaming fire, Dan?
Yes, it was sarcasm about the flaming tap water. Flaming fire. Flaming tap water. Come on.
Moving right along, we have Steve Carino.
Epic.
Was our guest, and he talked about winning the NWA World title. Of course, you can listen back to the archives and get the full interview. This is just snippets that we're playing here. So here is Steve Carino talking about that time in his life. Along that time, you won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. What was that moment like, getting a title that stretches back to, you know, the Flares and Steamboats? What was that moment like for you?
You know, it was cool at the time because I think a little known fact is a lot of people don't realize, like, I was supposed to actually get the title before Rapata. September 2000 tournament was, I was originally in the tournament, and it was an idea that Paul and I had come up with was to have, like, an old-school guy be, you know, the NWA champion, and I was going to... And I hadn't turned babyface at this point yet. And I was going to win this tournament, and I would go on television as the NWA champion, but I would never put the title on the line. I would come out with the belt. I would do that. And Howard Brody and everything, like, everybody was on board with this, and then I would go on different weekends and defend it into the member territories. And about a week before the pay-per-view, where I was already... turn babyface, which I was thinking, like, how's this going to work if I'm supposed to be a heel on TV with the NWA title, but now I'm babyface in ECW going after the ECW title.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, how's this going to work? Yeah, a week before, Paul pulled me from the, he pulled me from the tournament. And, like, it caused so many problems because I was in Los Angeles, and Dave Sapolsky calls me and goes, hey, man, if you talk to Paul, I'm like, oh, no, what's going on? He said he's pissed. He's like, he just pulled you from the NWA tournament. I'm like, what? Yeah, and it ended up where I told Howard Brody, I said, you know, I'm so mad at Paul because, you know, we'd given them our word that, you know, this is what we were going to do. And I thought, this is going to look like they're trying to pull like a Shane Douglas thing on them. And I said, you know, if I leave ECW ever, you know, the first thing I want to do is get that NWA title. And, yeah, it was the first thing, like, ECW closed in January, and I was the NWA champion by April. And, you know, it was cool because Bill Alfonso was the referee for the match, which, you know, he asked to be the referee of the match, and Brian Blair was, you know, as soon as I won, he came out and said, you know, congratulations, and, you know, it's a very important belt to the wrestlers and stuff like that. And it ended up being like the worst 6 months of my career.
Wow.
It was awful, man. It's being the NWA champion is cool. Dealing with the NWA promoters and the politics will make you want to pull your hair out. And within a month, all I could do was think of, man, I can't wait to lose this, because I was dealing with one shiesty promoter after another, and I would just beat Howard Brody's ear every week about, get the belt off me, I can't deal with these guys, you know. There was a set rate that the NWA champion had, and it was 40% less than what I was working for on the regular independent, because, you know, I was right off ECW, I was getting a good amount of money. But, right, you know, there was all these things where they would have all these rules where, oh, you can't lose, or you can't do this, or, you know, or somebody wouldn't use me in, for example, Bill Behrens wouldn't use me in Georgia because, you know, he had that NWA wild side and, you know, he didn't pay anybody. They all worked, you know, for the sake of being on TV. So he didn't want to pay me. But in turn, he didn't want me working for Dusty Rhodes in Georgia, a non-NWA member, or defend the NWA title or lose, you know. And it just got to the point where it's like, man, all I want to do is get this damn belt off me. You know, this thing that, you know, when I was 8 years old, that was the first championship belt I ever saw on TV.
Right.
With the NWA title.
Yeah.
And, man, like, it was September of 81, and which is crazy because I started watching wrestling maybe February of 81. So, like, I must have seen the Georgia heavyweight title or the national heavyweight title on. But when Blair came on that first time after he won the title and he was on Georgia TV, I was like, oh, my God, this is my dream to have this title. And
yeah,
it was like, I had it, and all I wanted to do was, like, get rid of it afterwards, because you had these guys that were just ruining it time after time after time. And, you know, I'm going out there, and I'm busting my ass with, you know, a local guy, and, you know, trying to do my best of, like, thinking, like, oh, what would Flair or Harley Race do? You know, they're going to get 20 or 25 or 30 minutes out of this guy. And you had to deal with the promoter. Hey, man, can you drop a fall to him? You know, there's two ways we can do this, guy. We can do a disqualification, or three ways. We can do a disqualification, I win, or we go an hour. Like, who wants to go an hour? And, you know, I would go in there with, like, a piece of garbage, like, what was this guy's name in Winnipeg? The Spider. Like, oh, this guy was freaking awful. And, you know, I would go to these member promotions, and instead of working their top guy, I would work the third or fourth guy. Because, you know, oh, it's your job out the top guy. Like, you can't,
oh, my God.
You know, you're supposed to be working the world's heavyweight champion. Losing to the world's heavyweight champion is not going to kill you. And, oh, instead, it kills me. Oh, I was like, oh, man. Thanks for bringing it up.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, good job.
Yep, thanks for bringing it up. Now, it is Thanksgiving Eve. And this show, Dan.
The one that we're on.
Yes, this show started as a vision of sorts to get the voice of independent wrestlers out there. And I would say, some legends, of course. We've had Dan Severin. We're going to have Tully Blanchard. That was all you, for the most part. That was all you.
Sometimes the sun shines on a dog's ass.
But plenty of independent stars that don't really have the opportunity to get on here and to get on any type of podcast, to get their voice out there. And that was the vision. And I would be remiss if I did not bring up certain people that helped along the way. Of course, Joe Zanoli, ECWA matchmaker and booker. Of course, Mike Tartaglia, the ECWA owner. And then, of course, the first four guys that we got lined up for interviews, and that was Joe himself. That was mm-hmm. Kay Koa, Bandito, and the Greek God Abaddon. Now, all those guys, they came on the show. All those guys I consider guys that I could pretty much go to at any time to get an interview.
Absolutely.
And guys that, if I see them at a show, they're very friendly, very, despite what may happen here or there. But great guys. But also along with ECWA being on board, there was also Jake Bishop, Justin America, especially Justin. Justin has always been a very vocal supporter of this show. And even when he was out of the business for, you know, a couple months, as there was the internal power struggle that was going on that I'm not going into between the factory and New Moon Rising Wrestling, he was still very supportive of the show. And I just have to say, these guys also gave Brady and I a shot. You're also involved, Dan, with New Moon Rising Wrestling, the floor director at this point. You work one show as cameraman, now you're floor director.
Doing both.
Amazing.
So far. Thank you. I'm good.
Of course, friends along
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
The show started out, it was going to be the three of us, but he got back into radio and, you know, God bless him. You know,
he did shout us out today.
I saw that. Yes, I did. I did
Good
see
guy.
That. So, you know, God
have
bless him.
Have a drink or eight on me.
Yeah. and going to a show with him would be a wonderful Christmas present. Let me just say that.
Yes, Mark.
maybe he should come out on the 15th to a New Moon Wrestling.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah, maybe that's close enough for him, I think. If he's not working, I don't think he works the nights. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And of course, Omega Squad, we started the Hell in a Cell Forum together way back when. So it's great having him along for the ride as well. And all the guys at this point, like the Matt Tremonts, the Drew Bloods, guys that when I see them, Niles Young. All these guys that have really taken a liking, you know, Tank Toland. But all these guys that...
Admit it, Gene.
But all these guys, well, honest, no, I can't. I have an image to protect.
Oh, God.
But he's a dummy anyway. You know, he can't figure out how to use the internet. So he won't hear what I have to say.
I'm going to tell him.
You're like a little tattletale.
Yeah, I like to see you squirm. It's fun.
Yeah, that's great. I can't wait till the shoe's on the other foot, Dan.
Oh, eventually. But I doubt those people will ever be against, will ever be on the same side anymore.
Hard to say. But all the guys that have really taken a liking to the show, and all the guys that just... come on the show, and it's really not about us, Dan. It's about the people that have made this show what it is. So just a big thank you to everybody who comes on, everybody who makes this a priority to come on and give their time.
There's a certain amount of people who make it a point to listen and spread the word of this show and come to shows and support us and support other companies. And I do want to thank them as well, personally. Oh. And again, and I've said many times, thank you for starting this and getting... I got you back into the show, and it wasn't working out, and rightfully so, you showed me the light and lit a fire under my ass, quite frankly. And again, we've done more in 6 months than I'd done in 4 years with that other show, because I couldn't go anywhere with it. And quite frankly, I guess I was the problem, not really. But I thank you, as far as being the moon, as far as being the cameraman and the best one, thank you very much. And now being floor director and actually doing something. And I didn't think I was going to mention this on air, but yeah, I will. When we were at the end of the last New Moon show, and I told you this in private, but I wanted to share this with other people. When we were in the meeting at the end of the show and everybody was talking, you know, I stood there in the midst of 20, 25 people that were part of the show, either on in-ring performers, backstage, or like you and Brady on the mics, Cliff, standing there in the middle of a locker room. And I looked around and I said, my God, I'm working at a wrestling company. My head exploded. It's like I could not, however big or small it is, we're both doing something we enjoy highly.
I wouldn't be there from 8 o'clock in the morning on a show day until, 11, 12 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Yelling at my best friend.
You are an F.
Oh, that's a backstage story. That's a backstage story to tell. Let me tell you. People, I yelled at Slim Burgundy.
I don't care. Just drive her home.
Get the fuck out of here.
You're an effing asshole.
You know, when you're let me just say this.
When you left the room, I looked at Jake. you were there. When he left the room, I said, well, trouble in paradise.
No, but here's the thing. When you're surrounded by a room full of performers.
Hold on. Before you tell that, I just wanted to say, after all that, out of the differences we have with other people and making up and all this other thing, we're here to support indie wrestling. I'm part of something that's very special, but we're still here to support indie wrestling as a whole. Any company that wants to use this as an outlet to get in touch with, you know, whoever listens to the show can use us. And for that, Dean, again, I say thank you.
Some people would like to turn their back. That's neither here nor there. But what I was going to say is...
Back to you fucking asshole.
The thing was with all that, and I forget because you cut me off and I lost the train of thought. It happens. Oh.
Well, no, I was saying that the paradise, trouble in paradise.
No, but when you're in a room of performers, thank you. When you're in a room of performers, wrestlers and things of that nature, and you shock them with a brouhaha. I just, the best thing about that whole thing was just Jake's face. As he's back, he's sitting at his desk and he just looks over and he's like, what the hell? Oh, that was worth it.
It was beautiful. The look on him and Justin's face was like, think we got problems.
You know what? But 5 minutes later, he came up and everything was fine. So,
what's amazing is with you, Dean, nobody really ever has to say I'm sorry.
Never what?
Never has to say I'm sorry.
I don't think either of us did. So, yeah.
I've never said I'm sorry.
I think we both have, Dan. Let's not kid ourselves.
I love you.
Shut up. So we're going to have... We also had a UFC Hall of Famer on, Dan.
Screw you, then.
No. I love you, too, Dan.
No, it's okay.
I would not take you along for this ride if... In our best interest.
Thank you. Well, you know, because I wasn't good for anybody else.
Well, you know what? Dan, you've moved on. I would hope that little...
Oh, God, that little story. God damn you.
That thorn in your side would just go away. Like Roughneck's plastic fork piece that was in his head, just squeeze it out. Drop the bag of rocks, Dan. Drop the bag.
Poke that hole through that plastic covering on the tasty cake and get it over with.
I'm having a pork roast tomorrow, Dan, and we got free potatoes, so I'm pretty happy. Camden's finest, ringing up at the path mark. Now, anyway, we had a UFC Hall of Famer on. Oh, I'm losing it. It's
the barcode missed the scanner, huh?
I have no idea what happened, but we have free potatoes, Dan. And they were pricey anyway, so I'm just happy.
Consider it a Christmas Kingdom miracle. You either get things for free or get...
I just got a thing that says Blog Talk Radio is closed to celebrate Thanksgiving holiday. Are we on? I don't know.
I don't know.
We're in overtime. Who cares?
I'll check. It's like you only get two things in on Thanksgiving, or in Camden. You get free potatoes or shot, really.
You know what? The part of Camden I was in. No, but the part of Camden I was in, it's not that bad.
There is no in between.
No, there is. There is, Dan. There is.
Not in Fairview.
Well, you're bringing up a place that no man would dare enter.
Anyway, you talked to an MMA legend?
Yes, a UFC Hall of Famer, Dan. Dan the Man, Dan the Beast Severin. Dan the Man Law, I don't know.
I'm Dan the Man, he's the Beast. Get it right.
You're the above average comedian, and I forgot to say that. Dan, where can the people find you?
You can find me at DanLaw83, Twitter.
And I'm at Folsom County, and the Twitter of the program is HIACTalkRadio.com. But what the...
thank you, good night.
Now, we had Dan Severin, and I asked him about his legacy, Dan. So here it is.
Now, the final question I have for you as we wrap up with you, and I do want to thank you for your time, but when you look back at your career, what do you want people to look back as your legacy? What is, when you look back on it, what do you consider your legacy? What do you want to be known for when it's all said and done?
Well, boy, I tell you what. You got me almost. You had me at almost a loss of words. Almost.
Wow.
Honestly, I would think that I would want them to know me for being a unique athlete. Probably a unique, honest. To the point of almost brutal honesty. Some people just can't handle that. I used to even say that. Even my enemies like me because they know that whatever I'm going to say, it'll be the truth, whether they like it or not. I'd rather hurt you the first time than have to tell you a lie and then have to tell another half a dozen to cover the first one. I'm not that sharp and I got too much going on. I guess being known as this longevity, this Iron Man of athletics, to do things at an age, to start something at an age where most would have retired. But honestly, in all of the things that I have done, I probably still take most pride in my amateur wrestling career, because you got to realize at the time that I was wrestling, we were still at a Cold War with Russia. And Russians were puffing up their chests, going, yeah, we've got nuclear power. And the United States were puffing up their chests, yeah, we got nuclear power. And no one's pushing buttons. And so things were more or less, when you look at even the Olympic Games, there'd be wartime. And war would be set aside just so that the games could be conducted, and it was just a different way of trying to show superiority. So with that said, to be in an Eastern Bloc country, a communist-controlled country, and to be standing on the top of that podium, and to be having the United States flag raised, and the playing of the national anthem, that's probably the greatest reward I have ever had, was a represent the United States and have something like that take place. And there's none of the current MMA guys could ever even relate to that. I mean, I'm not even certain. I think Randy's 47 or 48, I think, now. I don't know if he's ever, if he competed overseas during that time frame or not.
Right.
But I've been there, and I always tell people I've been to every country that has ever had a wrestling program, and some that don't even exist anymore because there used to be in East Germany. I was there four different times over the course of my career to see the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall, and to know that a wall and a fence was put up to keep people in. Not to keep people up, but to keep people in. It's a whole different mentality. And to be walking in the streets of Berlin and to see machine gun riddled walls, and to know that there were people that were executed there.
Jeez.
So that was a very, that's where, again, a lot of, I say politically incorrect because there's a lot of Americans that just don't realize the freedoms that we have.
Yeah.
And what we continue to compromise, and I'm tired of lowering the bar for other people.
Wow.
I just don't believe in a lot of programs that we're doing. But, one of the things that Jim comes to that is that this coming weekend I will be in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I will be in Waterloo, Iowa, at the Dan Gable Museum. And the Luthes, it's the first professional wrestling, amateur wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh.
I will be their very first double inductee. I was already inducted in there for what my contributions of what I've done in professional wrestling, receiving the the George Trejos Award. And I'll be there with other dignitaries, but as I said, I'll become their first double inductee. So I'm actually looking forward to that because what they said is what I did in 1994 when I walked into that octagon, I have unleashed the hordes of amateur wrestlers now that have come into mixed martial arts. I was the first true amateur wrestler, and no one's ever trained 5 days and to walk the world in the whole bar fighting. I've been credited with turning amateur wrestling into a martial art in one evening and opened up the floodgates to all the amateur wrestlers that are in there. And when you look at weight class by weight class, if you look at probably 8 or 9 out of the top 10 guys per weight class, you will see a lineage of an amateur wrestling there. And you hear the one commentator there of Joe Rogan, how he says time and time again that wrestling is a must. It's a foundation that you must have in order to achieve success in mixed martial arts today. So he's one of the biggest advocates of what amateur wrestling has brought to the table. So I appreciate that. I'm giving amateur wrestlers across the world the recognition that they really deserve because it is, when you look at what happens during the high school season alone, basketball and wrestling are at the exact same time, season-wise. Every night you can watch your news and you can see clips of all the various local high school teams and colleges and show clips and getting interviews. You see nothing for wrestlers.
Mm-mm.
You'll see on a Sunday, on the Sunday morning paper, you'll see the results, a little 1-inch by 1-inch column where you simply just know that Joe Blow went against this guy over here and the results of that match. And that's it. So that's why I give credit to wrestlers because when wrestlers go to college, they literally have to leave with tangible skills.
Wow.
Whereas there are other types of sports where a lot of the athletes are just trying to stay eligible enough to make the draft.
Mm.
And when they don't get picked, depression falls in and then they flunk out and they don't realize, boy, you had a free education. Just then they took advantage. So that's where a lot of wrestlers do well for themselves in terms of business-wise because, it's a sport that it all relies upon you. The definition of amateur wrestling is a team sport based upon individual performances. You can't pass the ball off to anybody else. You can't take anybody in. It's all you. If you have a bad night, boy, the crowd's about to see it, and there's nobody else that can bail you out of it. It's up to you.
Now, Dan, I just want to thank you for your time.
So that was UFC Hall of Famer Dan Severin explaining his legacy. Great interview, Dan.
No, I did not expect to get what we got from that guy. And the professionalism when we lost signal.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And he kept going. In fact, I think he just finished the answer by the time we got back on. We were off for like 4 minutes. We couldn't connect, and I'm listening to Fico. He's still going. Don't worry. No, he's still going. And he literally just had to go, hello?
You know, for the next best of, I really have to make clips of all the technical difficulties.
From Dan Severin to Tony Mamaluke, all of them. Hello?
Joe Gacy had one, too. Let's not forget Joe.
I forgot that one.
It sounded like I was underwater, and he's like, you're breaking up. I can't answer the question. But good stuff. Now, Dan, the only thing we have left is Mia Yim. That's a long one. I'm not sure. Are you staying, or are you coming back?
I got nothing to do.
Okay. Then we'll get to Mia. It's a long one, but it was such a great interview, and she was so open.
She was so good. She really was. Jesse, Missy, and me are three of my favorite interviews we've done.
Yeah, and I think Kimberly would be on that list too, if not for her being rushed that night. She was running back home and from work and this and that.
Axe on the podcast want to talk to me.
Yeah. So I think. But all the women that we've had on the show, my goodness, they have really delivered.
Do you think it's because you know that in their minds, because of how women's wrestling is viewed, they got to try harder?
I don't know. That could have part. I think somebody like Missy, it doesn't really matter because she's been there, done that, and it doesn't matter.
Kind of like Flaming Fire.
Ah, Dan. Just going to deadpan it. I brought it up at the time. And you said, yeah, like Flame and Fire. You even repeated it, Dan.
I said it twice.
You said, yeah, Flame and Fire.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was funny.
That's what you said, Dan.
I know.
And I let it go. I just dropped it. I said,
and tell the folks what happened like 2 minutes later. Tell the folks what happened 2 minutes later. It's funny.
Well, we have a chat room that we can talk back and forth.
No. We're in the studio talking to each other.
Yes, we passed a note. Anyway, people know you're in Virginia, Dan. I'm just saying.
I'm not in Virginia.
Oh, sure.
I'm right next to you. But I texted you, and I was like, oh, I just realized what I said. I said Flaming Fire, didn't I? And I could read your text as, yeah.
That was how. that was the intended receipt. So we have Mia Yim. It's about a half hour. So we'll be back in a half hour. Enjoy Mia Yim.
Enjoy, folks.
So Mia, welcome to the show. You're on
Hello.
With Dan. You're on with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. What I wanted to start out with is you. As far as I know, you broke in with CZW, or at least that was your first big break, at least. So what was the experience as a woman breaking in with that ultra-violent promotion?
Well, originally I started training back at home in Virginia, and then when I decided to just branch out because I figured I couldn't just stick in one state forever, CZW and Ring of Honor was the two companies that I decided to stick with outside of Virginia. So in CZW, like when I first started training there, it was just me and Kimberly. We were the only two girls in training. So it was nice to have another girl there, but both of us were treated like men, which is fine because even when I first started training in Virginia, I was usually the only girl. So I got used to
being treated as a man regardless. I just didn't want to be in a company or in a storyline or whatever, basically just like eye candy or just a manager or just, you know, something that would not showcase what I can really do. So when I first started coming to CZW, when I started training with the guys and everything, I was told, you know, I'll be able to actually wrestle with, I'll be considered, you know, just one of the guys. I'll wrestle anybody from, like, Black G's to Devin Moore. Like, I'll be pitting a match as if I was just another wrestler, which is what I wanted. So it was fun to train there and to debut there and have practically a year and a half history there. So it was really fun. I'm happy I was able to train and grow there.
And were you ever nervous given the CZW reputation? Were you ever nervous or did you have any hesitation at all?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started training, I heard of CZW and I watched some tapes, so I kind of just got the idea of, oh my gosh, they're just a deathmatch company and they just do a lot of blood and hardcore stuff. But then when I first started training at CZW, DJ Hyde, Black G's, Drew Gulak, they all basically told me, like, that's just, I've never been to a CZW show before, so they were just telling me, you know, that's just maybe one or two matches in a whole show. Like, there's actually real ground wrestling, some high-flying. It's a variety, so I believe them. And I knew they wouldn't make me do anything I wasn't comfortable with. So it was the fact that not only did they talk me into, you know, making me comfortable, they definitely just took me under their wing and made sure that I didn't do anything I wasn't, you know, comfortable or able to do. So they knew how.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off there. But when you did break in, you were with Adam Cole for quite some time. Now, what was that experience like going out there? Were you going out there and observing what was going on? I mean, was that more of a learning process for you?
Absolutely. Like, I've never – before I was with Adam Cole, I've never really been a manager before. So I was really blessed that the company put me with Adam because he gave me a lot of tips and advice and things to do. And it was so easy with him because when we got together, he was the heel. So I basically just played off of him, and we just wanted to make the crowd hate us. And it was really easy with him because I just fed off of him, and he made me feel comfortable, and he made me bring out, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this show or not.
Go ahead.
But he made me bring out the inner bitch in me, and it was so easy. First of all, being a girl at that company, like, everybody wants to call the girl at CZW a whore or she has herpes chant or something. So once I got that she has herpes chant, I knew I got him. And Adam just played it up, like, making out with me and grabbing my butt and stuff. So it was just really easy to get in with the crowd and to feel them out and to know what they hated. So I had a lot
now,
of fun with
that. During this feud that Adam had with Sami Callihan, one of the first big spots you took was that pile driver. Sami put you through a table. Now, what was that moment like for you?
It was scary. I've never been through a table before, so I was extremely nervous about it, but I've known Sami. I've trained with Sami a few times at CZW as well, so I knew that he would not do anything to really mess my life up. So, I mean, I trusted him. I trust everybody in the locker room, so I definitely had no problem with it. I knew he would take care of me, and I remember he told me, like, hey, it would be awesome if we did this because no other girl has done it, and the crowd really wants that, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, hell, if it's fine, let's do it. Like, it really didn't take a lot of pull for me because I've taken pile drivers before. So I was just like, hey, let's go for it.
Is there anything that they wanted you to do that you didn't do, or is it pretty much 100% so far?
pretty much 100%. They wanted me. We were supposed to do this thing where eventually I would have to wrestle DJ Hyde, and to be honest, I was not feeling it. I couldn't tell you why. I just didn't have a good vibe about it, and I didn't feel like it was necessary. Granted, CZW, you know, I'm just going to say it out loud right now. Like, CZW, they've always treated me well, and they've always taken really good care of me. And
no, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, they wanted, after me and Greg had our feud, DJ wanted me and him to have a feud. But for some reason, I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I can't pinpoint why, but there was just a vibe that I wasn't feeling. So I just, I couldn't do it.
Okay, now, one thing I did want to get into was, of course, that the series of matches you had with Greg Excellent. Now, it started out, I'm not quite sure the genesis of it. Can you get into the genesis of that feud that you had with him?
Basically, Adam had a match with Greg, and, oh my gosh, I don't even remember. I know that they had a couple matches, and I always kept interfering and being a part of the match, and I don't know if I cost Greg the match or I made Adam won. I don't remember what I did, but I remember I was always doing something whenever Adam and Greg was wrestling. So eventually they put me and Greg together, and to be honest, it was only supposed to be a one-time thing, like just a match for the show, and then that was that. But then the way the first match ended up, they wanted to do a series of it, which was completely fine with me because I had a lot of fun with Greg. Like, it was, to be honest, that was probably the most fun feud I've had so far.
Okay, so the connoisseur of Mountain Dew, as we call him, Greg Excellent, and you had the series of matches. It, of course, erupted at the TLC match that people are still talking about today, quite frankly. I've seen the match. I've seen highlights of the match. I've seen – all I can say is I really think that is do you think, in your opinion, do you think that that match, the TLC match with Greg Excellent, elevated you to the next level, both in the fans' eyes and both with the locker room?
Absolutely. Before the TLC match, I've never done a match, like a hardcore match or a gimmick match or anything like that before. So it was definitely something new to me. And you could ask anybody, but when I was told, you know, hey, how would you feel about doing this match? And it being with Greg, I could trust my life in his hands. Like, I could put my life in his hands and I trust him. So, of course, I said, yeah, let's do it just because it's with Greg and, you know. But I was extremely nervous about it. I got a lot of advice and tips from the boys. And Greg, I give Greg all the credit in the world. I think that it was, I did a little bit of it, but I think he did about 80 to 90% of everything in that match. He carried my ass through the whole thing, and he's so underrated. Oh my gosh, I wish more people would know about Greg. But I really think that because of him and CCW giving me this opportunity with this TLC match, like, it definitely elevated me to the next level, because I already know that before I had this match, when it was advertised in a TLC match, a lot of people were like, I don't know if she can do it. I've never seen her do anything like this, so it's going to definitely be a challenge. Like, they were uncertain on how it was going to turn out, and then afterwards, it's like a lot of people they've respected me a lot more, and I'm thankful for it. Like, I didn't know how well it turned out until I watched it back. So, I mean, I'm so glad that it happened, and I definitely give it credit for my name being brought out a lot more.
Now, that last, the move that led to the win was you did a sunset flip over Greg off the top of the ladder, and it modified into a powerbomb through a table. What was that like as you're doing it, as it's going on? I mean, what are you thinking? Because that, just that move alone, I mean, is just so amazing to watch.
Well, once again, that was all Greg's idea. I've never even done a sunset flip bomb in my life, like not even on top rope or anything. The closest I've had to doing that was the Yoshi tonic I did to Greg in the second match of our feud. But he came up with that idea, and honestly, I'm petrified of heights. So even if you watch the video back, you can see me. I sound like a big girl right now, but I started crying when I was climbing up there. And also, Greg had a concussion right before when we fell to the outside onto the table. He got a concussion from that. So when he was coming up, like, his face his face was shot white, bloodied. And here I am, like, I don't even know, 10 feet off the ground, looking down on this big, beastly man with blood coming down. Like, it was, I could still see the screenshot in my head. It was petrifying. It was terrifying. And even though he was concussed, like, I still trusted him, and he just told me to go for it. So I just went for it. And I don't know if you can really see, but when I flipped over, I basically dangled from Greg's legs. Like, I still didn't even hit the floor when I flipped over. So he made sure that, you know, once I got over, he made sure that I was there before he went. So there was a lot of scary moments in that match, and him being concussed and me being up so high was definitely the two scariest moments. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, even my parents haven't even seen the video because they know how scared I am of heights. Like, I don't...
Oh, man.
Oh, it was so scary.
Okay, now, after the match, you obviously won that match. The fans are chanting your name. You're very emotional. Just relive that moment for us right now.
Well, to be honest, I've never thought in a million years I would ever work for CCW. Like, being, you know, first year training and watching these CCW tapes and seeing all these names and stuff working there, I never in a million years thought I would wrestle there. And even if I did think about it, like, man, they probably would hate me because I'm a girl, I don't do all this extra stuff. So right after I won, and then the crowd, I looked up, first of all, after I won, I didn't know what the hell we just went through. I just felt like we just went through a plane crash. I was just glad it was over. And then when I looked up, everybody was on their feet. And then I heard them chanting my name. And then I heard them chanting Greg's name. And then I heard them chanting both of our names. So the fact that they were doing that for us, it was like we made an impact in this company. We did something where people will look back, hopefully in a couple of years, be like, you remember seeing this, or say another girl has to wrestle a guy, and they will refer to me and Greg's match. Like, that is what I thought, and it was like, I finally got these people to realize that I am one of the boys. Like, I can do what these guys do, and they finally see it. So it was so emotional, and it felt like I accomplished something in the business. It felt like I actually did something in the business.
Now, the Blaze and Barbie thing, is that something that you wanted to go with, or was that something that they put on you as a gimmick?
Oh, my word. To be honest, Larry Legend, he's the one that came up with it, and he just ran with it. And I thought it was the funniest thing, so I'm like, you go for it. You trademarked that. I left all that to Larry. That's his brilliant idea.
Because you're running with it.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
Okay, now, Mia, I do have a fan. His name is John from from Rhode Island. He would be very angry if he did not have a chance to speak with you. Most likely. Yeah, just a little bit of background. He likes to sing songs.
Okay.
So he may have a song for you to sing. So I'll bring him on. And I apologize ahead of time. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight, sir?
How are you doing, and how are you doing, Mia?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
First, I want to congratulate you for the second best match on the card from Shine last week, because
first two matches from China you've had have been the number one favorite for me to see, like with Jessica Havoc, Sassy Steffi.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. So there, who would you want to see them bring in for you to face, do you think? Either there for you to see, for you to have a dream match against that you never get a chance to wrestle against?
At Shine or in general?
Well, in Shine or in general.
I think he wants both.
I would love to wrestle Jazz. Meeting her at the last few Shines, she's amazing.
Yeah.
So I would love to wrestle her.
Hey, John, I have a very quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a song for Mia? I know this is your thing. Have you come up with one for Mia Yim?
I actually do, if she would like it.
Okay, it's up to you, Mia. If you would like to hear the song that John has painstakingly written, the choice is yours. Okay, let's hear it, John.
I love the way Mia handles the boat. I love the way she sails the boat. I just think she is beautiful. She's a lovely, she's a lovely, she's a lovely, she's a lovely, she's a lovely. I love the way she bites her lips. I love the way she shakes those hips. I love the way she smells those chests. I just think she is beautiful.
Okay, John. Do you have anything else?
I'm flattered. I feel wooed.
Do you have anything else for Mia Yim?
No, you're done.
No. Well,
One
more thing. What is there any particular match in Shima right now that you've had a favorite in? Because I've seen many of those in there. Like, you've had one with Tomashi Motsu, if I'm not mistaken, or I could be wrong.
A favorite match of my own?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my match with Kana. That was a lot of fun.
That was really big when I saw that one. Yeah. That was nervous to stop, and now it was turned out phenomenal for me. So I really appreciate it for a great match.
Okay, John.
Hey, I wish you the best of luck, Mia.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so everyone, that was John from Rhode Island,
boy.
And quite the song. I like the way she's.
Phil Collins doesn't have anything on John.
I like the way she sails the ships.
Yes. The ships.
She bites her lips and she shakes her hips. I love it. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry.
I thought it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Okay, now getting back into the interview. You had a tryout with TNA. And there was a little bit of disappointment there. What happened, and do you feel you grew from that experience with TNA?
Oh, my gosh, that was so long ago. I don't even – this was back in 2010, I think. And
oh, wow.
It was when I was still, like, branching out from Virginia. So this was way before CCW, way before Ring of Honor and the current stuff. So I was still very new, and if – the way I'm now, you would have not guessed that back in the day. I was just a shy, to myself person. So when I went to TNA, I was just so shy and in shock. The only friend I had there that I actually knew was Lee South, the photographer. So I basically hung around him the whole time. But yeah. I got to meet everybody at TNA back in the day, which was like Velvet and Angelina and what's her name, Madison Rain. So I was able to meet everybody there, and everybody was super nice and super sweet to me. And I wrestled Taylor. What was her TNA name? I don't Taylor Wilde.
Not,
there we go. Taylor Wilde.
At least it wasn't Von Erich.
Yeah, that shows how bad my memory is right now. But I wrestled Taylor Wilde, and she was just a sweetheart. She knew I was nervous. Like, I was fidgeting and biting my nails and stuff, so she kept me calm. And I thought we had a really good match. I really would like to watch it back to see how I did to learn from it. But it was a great learning experience too. And she gave me a lot of advice. And Al Snow and D'Lo Brown gave me a lot of advice. And it was an awesome experience. And you know, things don't go their way, but you know, as as I like to think about it, when one door closes, another one opens, you know, God maybe just thinks I wasn't ready for it yet, or he has something better planned for me. So, I mean, I'm not bitter. I'm not mad about it. I'm happy where I'm at right now. Japan is my number one goal. So, things fall into place the way God wants them. So I'm not bitter or mad about it. So it's another learning experience in the books for me. I enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Now, speaking of Japan, you're signed. You have a contract in Japan. So I believe it's October 8th. You're leaving. You're going to Japan. What is that like for you? I mean, this obviously is the biggest moment so far in your career.
Thank you so much. And for the record, it is not confirmed that it's October 8th yet. It's just a, you know, I'm guesstimating, but it's not October 8th yet. I still don't know when I'm going over, but I have a feeling it's going to be early October. And concerning Japan and stuff, like I was touring with Reina. Reina's been the only company in Japan that I work for. I would love to work for other companies like JWP, or Sendai Girls, or, you know, just, you know, branch around. But as of right now, I'm happy. I've been touring with Reina since last year, and they actually wanted to sign me last year, but I was in my final year of college. So when they offered that to me, I just told them, you know, hey, when I graduate, you know, you guys will be on the top of the list. I don't care if it's any other contracts, like, you guys will be my priority. So once I finished finished school and I got my diploma, all that stuff, I hit them up. I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, I finished school. If you guys still want me, like, I'm available full time now. And then when I went back over for my last tour, that's when we discussed it and figured out the details and everything. And, you know, I got my father and other people to take a look at things and make sure everything was fine. And now I get to live my dream.
Okay.
Hey, is it Northern Virginia or Southern Virginia?
I'm in Northern Virginia, near D.C.
What part?
Fairfax.
Okay, you're right near me, actually.
Really?
I'm like 10 minutes south of you in Lake Ridge.
Oh, well, damn.
Yeah, we'll hang out. We'll have fun.
Now, one other thing. You had your last match, or so it would appear, with CZW at the last show. It was you... And, goodness, who was your tag team partner? Was it Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was you and Greg against Drew Gulak and Kimberly. So how was that for your last match in CZW?
I enjoyed it. I got to wrestle, you know, one of my best friends, Kim, and we got to we trained with each other for maybe a year and a half. So, like, we knew, and we wrestled each other all over the place in around the area, like in Jersey and stuff. So we knew what we can do, and we know what we could take and stuff. So that was easy. And then teaming up with Greg was phenomenal. He is so funny. I'm so glad that I got to work against him and work with him. So it was nice that I was able to have a match with practically my best friends, and it was just all around fun.
Yeah, and it was, I believe, Greg, after the match, he did say that this is you know, probably your last time for a while in CZW. So it was a great moment for you, I think. The appreciative fans there did give you somewhat of a send-off. I forget where I was going to go. I had another question, and it went right away. But now, where can people follow you to follow your career and to, you know, keep in contact with you?
Oh, my gosh. I am a loser, so I'm always online. I'm on Twitter at Mia Yim. Like, everything is Mia Yim. So Facebook/Mia Yim, at Mia Yim. I have my own website, MiaYim.com. I'm everywhere, so it will be really easy to find me and follow me. I don't have a life besides wrestling, so I'm always on the internet. And, yeah, if you want to contact me, Twitter is usually the easiest way.
Oh, I finally remembered what it was. At the Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling Show, I think it was in July, the end of July, you were there, and you came out to cut a promo after one of the matches,
And it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed. All the fans in attendance were booing, hissing. They were blowing the air horns anytime you tried to get a word out. Now, was that the closest you ever came to actually just losing it in front of the audience?
Oh my goodness! Yes, I've never gotten a reaction like that before. Even at CCW when I was with Adam Cole, like even when I talked on the mic, they didn't act like that. So, granted, I'm rarely the heel, so the only place I am is with Jersey Shore and JAP. And and also another thing, you know, a secret about me is I really, really, really suck at promos. So I was already nervous going in there, and I remember I was the first or second promo of the day, and I know, I think it was Danny DeMonto or Bandito Jr. that had a promo after me. So before I go out, though, one of the other came up to me and was like, hey, don't mess this up now. Get him hype. I was like,
oh,
crap. Oh, no pressure. I really just went out there to wing it, and I was expecting an extreme epic fail of another promo. But once I went out there, and bless Daisy, bless her soul, because she just played along with it and just started laughing. And the minute I try to say something, air horns. Freaking air horns. And I was like, this is not going to go down. So I try to stay out to say what I wanted to say, and it's legit been maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and I barely got a hey, shut, and then that's basically all I got out. So I just left. So I was like, well, yeah. And then I go in the back, and everybody was like, good job. That's what we need. Good job. I was like, oh, my gosh. Thanks.
You did kind of the job that you wanted. So were you happy with that result after everybody was complimenting you, or were you still kind of upset?
Oh yeah, that was something far beyond my expectations. Like I did not, to be honest, I thought I was going to get booed for a horrible promo. So the fact that I got that reaction, I was like, I didn't even do anything. It's awesome to be a bitch. So I felt like I did something good. For the day, at least.
Yeah, I certainly thought that was one of the one of the best promos I've ever seen. So, but Mia, thank you so much for giving this interview. I know you're very busy getting things prepped to go to Japan. Good luck in Japan as well. And you're welcome anytime when you come back and you're on hiatus, because I know you're coming back to America every once in a while. Not that a priority would be to call in here, but. You're more than welcome to.
I'll make sure to keep you guys updated and maybe, you know, keep down my numbers so when you see it next time, because I'm probably going to be surprised calling y'all.
Okay. That sounds definitely great. And like I said, again, good luck in Japan, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Break a leg.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
So that was Mia Yim, Dan, a wonderful interview with really just a great person, and she's in Japan right now doing her thing.
I'll be looking forward to an update soon. Let's hit her up on Twitter to see if she's got time. But
yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear how that's going, because I know of several wrestlers going over there, and that's making it, you know?
It really is. It really is. When you make it to Japan, and a lot of people want to, you know, get out there internationally, of course. A lot
Didn't
of guys
that
do.
That guy that you don't like very much at all, who held the WCW title, make it out there in between WCW and WWE?
Who, Goldberg?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. I don't think he ever wrestled Japan.
I think he wrestled Japan for a while.
I don't think so. I don't think Japan would have him. As soon as he got that pushed in, tuned out.
I understand.
Defeated Hogan, that was enough. And Hogan wasn't even a great champion at the time.
No, but you know what?
He was really just a figurehead champion, just had the belt, never defended it, that sort of thing. And not that that matters, but...
not in these days, no.
As soon as Goldberg got that ascension...
And then they Nash wins it, finger poke of doom, yada yada.
Don't even get me started, please.
But tuned out. It was actually I tuned out before then. It was the same night. I forget what was happening on Nitro. They had a big angle too, but the night that Austin was going to wrestle McMahon for the first time.
Oh, in Philly.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, damn! You know what?
That's when I tuned out, and
if I
became. I
saw the date. I could probably tell you.
It was in April, I believe, of 97.
It was 98. No, I know what year it was.
Was it 98?
Because I was at the Philly show.
It was 98. Yes, you are correct.
I was at the Raw show.
But tuned out.
Nash and Hogan started splitting from the NWO. You know, when the Wolfpack starts splitting
off.
That was their main angle at that point. And Roddy Piper was going to lead them into Spring Stampede and a baseball bat on a pole match.
Oh, my God. I'm still looking forward to the New Moon Rising Wrestling pork roll on a pole match. I'm pitching it.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to run in and take that shit.
I'm pitching it, Dan, every
pork
month.
Roll, I'm there, man.
Every month at the production meeting. I go, sir?
Pork roll on a pole.
Pork roll on a pole. You don't know how much money that could draw. Come on. Pork roll on a pole.
I would buy the pork roll. I could save the company money.
Roughneck, Robert Knight, pork roll on a pole. Do it.
Make me the referee because I'm stealing it. One way or the other, Dan is climbing up there and stealing that pork roll, sir. Especially if it's tailored pork roll. Ugh.
You'll be like that. You know those, like a little wiener dog, like your dog, how they like attach to a rope and they just won't let go and you swing them around. That would be you.
Yeah. At the end of a pork roll, definitely. And you know what? Back to the Mia Yim thing. That was the same night of that very famous, very exciting Breaker Morant interview.
Why did you have to bring that up, Dan?
We went right from Mia Yim. We went right from, yeah, and I'm wrestling in Japan. It's going to be awesome. To, I suck. I wear camouflage.
Oh, that was just, I try to push it out of my memory.
I'll never let you forget me. It's your fault.
You know, it is. I listened to the wrong people on that one. I'll put it that way.
That was a good idea.
No, not him, but there were certain fans of Breaker that pushed me in that direction of Blackheart and whatnot. So
you should talk to Breaker. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe that's why he doesn't shoot videos for promos.
I've noticed that there's not one promo online of his.
There's one, and it was
that good.
Yeah, it was epic.
I'm gonna tell you the same thing I told those guys.
Don't close your blinds
on the show. That's so awesome. I believe we have
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, established in April, making enemies since day one.
I believe we have clips to go over, Dean.
You know, we're done, but one last guy that I wanted to say huge thank you to is Brady Hicks.
Oh, yeah. man.
Brady Hicks, he listened to the first episode, thought it was great, put it on the website. We became friends over time.
And now broadcast partner, sir.
And it's an amazing thing. We're looking for bookings, so if any promoters are out there, need broadcast team, but
especially if any promoters have broadcast a team that's half-assed.
Yeah. So I mean, we're but just an amazing thing. Put us on the website right after the first episode, and
yeah, you told me. I was like, who?
Oh yeah, but no,
good friend.
Yeah, and since then, just
good guy.
Yeah, just
has a good show himself in the room.
In the room on Tuesday nights, usually.
Sometimes.
Not lately.
On show, canceled.
Bobby Fish Tank sunk.
Can't imagine why.
Anything else around? From that commercial?
Dimple Date.
Dimple Date lives on somehow. I want Captain Dave to guest host
a Dimple Date?
That would be great.
What I do sometimes is...
I like to tickle my own nipple. That's great, Dave.
That's great, Dave. We don't care.
I'm proud.
Sometimes I like to use a French tickler.
On myself. Dave, we don't need this information.
And sometimes I like to use Jell-O.
A whole tub
of it.
Not again, dude.
You gotta get the hard.
The best thing.
You gotta get the unedited, the unedited, uncut, raw footage that I got from the floor cam because it's on there.
Oh man, I gotta see.
I was right on top of those guys when he was hitting him in the head. That's the sign.
You know what? Speaking of Captain Dave, though, I think the best thing that you can do with Captain Dave is go to a CZW show. The man will just lose his shit when anything crazy happens. Like, New Jack came out, I thought he had 20 orgasms. It was the most amazing thing ever. He's in the penalty box, typically, off to the right side, if you're staring at the ring from whatever angle. But he's off in the penalty box, and he'll run up. They have lights set up in an aisle, and there's nothing else around the lights. And he'll run up almost to, like, the guardrail, like, freaking out, screaming at the top of his lungs. And then, of course, my favorite moment ever was introducing DJ Hyde, the CZW owner, to Captain Dave. And I'm going to say unedited because the hell with it. But I go, DJ, Bill Olson and I were actually talking to DJ. And, you know, we're just talking about the show and if we enjoyed it and that sort of thing. And Captain Dave came over to say goodbye to me. So I'm like, DJ, I don't think you realize who this is. This is Captain Dave. And Dave is there like he's looking at Santa Claus. And, you know, he puts his hand out, you know, that gimpy little hand. And he puts it out. So DJ shakes his hand. And as he's shaking it, he looks right at Bill and I, and he's like, I have no fucking idea who this guy is. And I go, don't you understand? It's Captain Dave. So he's like, Captain fucking Dave, nice to meet you. It's the best thing ever.
It says it all, my friend. It really does.
It was the best ever. But Brady, thank you so much. You know, the people that have given us shots.
Thank you for believing, really.
Yeah. It's a great thing.
You know who I want to say?
Who?
And this is a last but not least kind of thing. Monsieur Oulala.
Oulala, too.
Oulala for his continuous retrospective. Not only the fact that I get to see old pictures of him as Mickey O'Brien and everything on his Facebook. It's great.
Well, it's not a best of if you don't hear this, Dan.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? La la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo!
You know, going along with that, Dan, is we gave him a shot because he's been in the business for over 20 years. We were his second interview. So, and there's just such a give and take with a guy like Oulala, and I love the series. Other people might not. I love it. It always does well.
He's great to talk to after a show. The reason why we do this series is because of the 50 stories.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still interested to hear about this Casey Boy story.
Yeah, we have...
When is the next one?
I think the 12th. Yes, 12-12-12 will be the next French interruption.
That's just the best intro you've ever made.
Oh, it is good.
It's going to be an interruption... And it's going to be French.
Yeah.
You know what that means? No.
He doesn't even know.
That's true, he doesn't.
I got to play that one interview. We'll play it next week where he was just so funny. Because I said, so the French Interruption is turning everything upside down. He goes, what are you talking about, Monsieur? Tartaglia is the way to turn everything upside down. I merely interrupted it. It's like, what the hell?
He's got you there, man. I'm sure not know what the hell he just said. But
now, next week, Dan, we have Anthony Chico. Papa Don's personal ring announcer will be joining us.
Whatever.
I can tell how excited you are.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. He's a bad guy, and I don't like bad guys.
We also have MMA fighter. For Legacy 15, he came out dressed as a banana.
That's right. Oh, yes. Right? I have to see this.
So Ryan Hollis will be joining us. That's going to be interesting. Omega Squad has no idea, I don't think, but he'll be excited, I'm sure, for an MMA interview. And the return, Dan, of Ophidian.
Yes.
We also have on the 4th, Matt Tremont returns. He's going to talk about DJ Uncensored. DJ Hyde, that is, coming up on Cage of Death. Of course, Cage of Death is on the 8th. Craven Vero will also return to talk about his big debut for the main roster of PWS. The 5th, of course, is Tully Blanchard, WWE Hall of Famer, NWA Hall of Famer. The 12th, we have Michir Oulala, The French Interruption, Part 4. There's something else, and I didn't write it down, Dan.
I'm sorry.
The 19th.
And not to. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The 19th is Breaker's Epic Christmas and the return of Adam Cole. The return of Adam.
Jingle bells.
Jingle, I guess. Now, the 26th, that's the day after Christmas, Dan.
I want to wear something sleigh.
We are going to be on the air the day after Christmas, and our gift will be a look back, not in the form of clips or anything, but we're going to look back at the best of wrestling, MMA, some best interviews, I guess. I'll come up with more stuff.
I just wanted to say is the best of Hell in a Cell would not be the best of without a Kodiak Bear reference. I was trying to show you this the other night. After the New Moon Rising show, Monsieur Lala posted an old program from Pennsylvania Championship Wrestling, their April Armageddon card, which is April 17th, 1998, at the Cloister at St. Joe's.
I'm sorry. Just these names are just funny.
Yes, it's great.
I love wrestling names. You know, the names of cards, you know. I don't know. Just cracks me up.
But the PCW American champion was Monsieur Oulala, and he wrestled against George Animal Steel. But the fourth match on the card that night was Julio Sanchez versus Kodiak Bear. And that just made my day. That's all.
Good to know.
I also like the PCW grudge match tag title main event was Glenn Osborne and partner versus John Rock and partner.
Hey. You know?
And Mike Quackenbush was on that card.
Yeah.
Quackenbush and Boogie Woogie Brown versus Joe Rules, Chris Kroger, and somebody, Hussein.
He's probably the guy that's in DWF now.
Jihad Hussein, yeah.
Speaking of which, DWF is this Saturday. That should be fun.
Good. Nice segue.
That should be a lot of fun. Ryan and I will be calling the action along with Salamander Jones. Fun.
Find a way. Fun.
Yes. Looking forward.
Speaking of, just to stay on the Monsieur Oulala thing, have you seen the latest ECWA poster?
The one where he's saying a yes.
It's actually a pretty brilliant Photoshop.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good. I like that.
Not bad. But Dan, you can follow us on iTunes. Just subscribe there. Search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Also, Follow us on Twitter, HIAC Talk Radio. Personally, it's DanLaw83, Folsom County for myself. Like the Facebook at Cell in a Hell. And Dan, we'll be back next week. It's a packed show. Ryan Hollis, Anthony Chico, and Ophidian returns. I can't wait for that.
It's exciting. You know what? It's fun.
Well, have a great Thanksgiving. The holidays are upon us. And we'll talk to you next week, Dan.
Yes, awesome.
I've got another confession to make.